discuss budget amendments. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Want to call roll?
Legislator Archer?
Here.
Legislator Geraghty?
Yes.
Legislator Donaldson? Legislator Mayo? Legislator Maloney? Legislator Petit?
Here.
Legislator Ronk? Legislator Bartels?
Here.
Okay. And we've got a number of amendments to go through today. I'd just like to set some ground rules. I'll wait till Legislator Maloney gets back, but I think, you know, trying to stop sidebar conversations so that everybody can hear and it doesn't get distracting, I think it's really important. Okay. So, first up, Holly, would you like to come up and talk to us about your amendment? Thank you.
So, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the rather wordy, and I apologize, proposal that I submitted. You want me to talk into that, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to premise my remarks by a cautionary statement, which is I am not here to dissuade the legislature from offering raises to any employees in this county. I reference some other positions in my proposal only by way of a way to compare what I think is some inequities which I think justify the position. I certainly am not in any way trying to suggest that the people who are receiving increases shouldn't receive increases. So I hope that you understand that. To cut to the chase, right now this is a complicated time for prosecutors around the state. As I'm sure you're aware of it, there are a number of criminal justice reforms that the agencies around the state are dealing with, not just the DAs, but all of the agencies, and I'm sure that that has some of your attention. That's the backdrop. I think that the requirements for ADAs come January are going to be more complicated and more onerous than they have been in the past. And again, that's a backdrop to what my request was. I'll also point out, trying to give myself a little credit, which is I didn't seek a lot of new positions in this year's budget. I thought it would make more sense to wait and see what these new reform bills are going to do. And the next district attorney will be able to come forward and say, okay, I need assistance here, I need assistance here. I tried to keep that part of my budget request at a minimum. I asked for two paralegals to help with the discovery bills, and that was granted, and I thank the county exec's office for that. So I'm here because I sought raises for six of my lowest paid assistant district attorneys. In my budget proposal, the total of that was about $55,000, and in the proposed budget before you, the county exec's budget, I received zero from that request to 55. So by way of a comparison, and the explanation that was given to me unfortunately wasn't accurate, which was, well, we're not offering any individual raises to any positions throughout the county. And if that was the case, that's the case. But that's not the case. The fact is that in the county exec's budget itself, there's one position that received a 25% increase. In the county attorney's office, there are six attorneys. Three of them receive raises. In the public defender's office, Andy asked for eight raises, I believe, for the existing positions. Now, this is not including the new positions that are being discussed, but in the existing positions, he asked for eight raises, which amount to $114,000. And he received $114,000. And yet the DA's office receives zero. And I don't understand how a county can take that position, frankly. If you look at some of the other numbers, I don't think they add up. If you look at the, in the county attorney's office, there are two paralegals that make substantially more money than my assistant DAs. If you look at the new positions that Andy has asked for, the entry-level positions come in at a number higher than the people who are currently working for you in this county, who are doing a good job, who've been here for years. And new positions, new hires are being offered at more money. That to me is it's not right. So one of the things that was described to me as a justification for new positions and some of the what I feel are discrepancies in the budgets between the two offices had to do with case lists, or case workloads, I should say. I personally don't think that's a good way to establish the value of an attorney in the office. I think really what you want to do is you want to have a boss that you trust, and the boss knows what kind of work needs to be done and who needs to do that work. But it, from the legislative point of view, I understand that the need or the desire to have some comparisons. And so throughout the state, they have asked for statistical data to justify some of this harem money. So I sent to you some of the case lists for the individuals that I am asking for raises. And if you've had a chance to look at them, I'm sure you'll agree with me that the workload for these attorneys is substantial. Now, the cases that I list here in their case list are just the felony cases. In addition to the felony caseload, each of these attorneys has they have justice court responsibilities and a number of other responsibilities in addition to the felony caseload they do. So that's the gist of my request, and I was hoping that you would have some questions and I could try and answer or address those questions. Yes? Oh boy. I'm sorry I have my back to you.
No problem.
Okay. So, here's what I wish would happen. Okay. I think it would be appropriate for this body to have an open discussion with the people who are serving you in the criminal justice community. And frankly, that's me. and that didn't happen. No one talked to me about caseloads or increases in salaries or the new statutes or anything. I mean, I was just completely cut out of the discussion, and I think that you lost an opportunity to get some insights into that. The short answer is I don't agree with you. I think that is an inaccurate statement that these positions are mandated. I think it's an accurate statement that the new positions in the Public Defender's Office are funded. That's a grant, and that's good. But my reading, and I brought it today, and I talked to Andy, and I said, hey, look, we met at the safety committee meeting the other night, and you mentioned that there's some statistical data that supports this. And when I talked to Mark, I said, hey, you know, I understand there's some statistical data. He says, well, I haven't seen it. I don't have it. So I asked Andy to send it to me, and I don't have it. I think that this body would be appropriate for you to say, okay, you have X number of lawyers, and you handled X number of cases, and the settlement has a chart that says, you know, generally speaking, this is the number of misdemeanor cases a public defender should have, this is the number of appellate cases they should have, etc. And how do these statistics here from Ulster County compare to the state statistics? And I don't know that those statistics are, I have not seen them. That's one of the reasons I presented my case list for some of these attorneys, because their case lists, their caseloads are, I assure you that the work they're doing is in the number of hours involved exceeds any work done by any other lawyer in the county. And that one of the reasons, and you've heard this before. I've been here, you and I have been here, you had to listen to me say this a number of times. I'm pretty high on the guys that work over there, but they deserve it. They work really hard for this county, and they do a good job. And for some reason, they seem to get second shift when there's a discussion on the budget. And I don't know, I hope that's not a reflection on me. I hope that's not a reflection on politics. But I don't have any explanation as to why they seem to be cut out of the discussion. So that's kind of why I'm here. But anyway, getting back to the settlement, I think the settlement established criteria. But in order for you to say we should or should not accept this money, I think you have to have the statistical data in order to show. And if it exists, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but you haven't seen it, and I haven't seen it, and maybe you've seen it. Have you seen it?
No, I'm late to this.
Okay. Well, has anybody in this committee, have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
That's kind of my point. My point is that I'd say before we start handing out new positions, which is causing some rift amongst some other positions in the county, as you might expect. I mean, you know, the guys on this side of the Wall Street are making less money and doing more work than the guys across the street. People say, what the heck? If that's true. And the one way to find out is to say, okay, well, let's look at the statistical data. But I have not seen it, and I've tried to get it.
Who has it?
Well, I assume Andy does. I called his office today. I talked to Peggy, and I said, hey, can talk to Andy and see if it's okay that you send this to me. Andy Kossover is the public defender. He's pretty much, you know, he's tuned into all of the, well, he is the public defender. He's certainly very tuned into a lot of these changes. And I assume his office. I'll tell you what, if you ask me to give you the exact data of the number of cases that we prosecute, I wouldn't be able to do it. Okay, so I don't have a statistician. I wish I did. We rely on the numbers from what's called DCJS, which is the, you know, the statewide guru, and they take data here and there, and that is not very reliable because it's dependent upon each court's clerk to send the information in. So it's a good guideline. It's a pretty good idea. I have very, very clear, accurate information about felony prosecutions. But to be candid with you, how many misdemeanors are out there and how many are prosecuted? I don't have that data. If Andy does, good.
Yes.
Also, my impression that other counties may work differently in terms of how their assistant DAs come in and their trajectory of the flow of their work.
Yeah, they
so
do.
So that we seem to have a lot of people whose salaries look low for their experience and maybe their workload, but in other counties, those people are more
promoted.
Transient and go on to other things.
Sure.
And therefore, they don't appear to be underpaid for what they're doing because it's more of a training portion of their career.
Oh,
somewhat like what I would be familiar with in medicine of during your internship, you make $25,000 a year. It's not with the expectation that that will always be your salary. But if you stay in that internship position, then you will make $25,000 a year. You
okay.
Don't go on to the other, positions in your profession.
So I don't know that I agree with that. A good analysis would be, you know, for me anyway, Orange County and Dutchess County. We have this Hudson Valley thing going on, and we have a lot of similarities in the caseloads we have and the type of work we have. Orange County clearly much larger than we are. What you have. In fact, going back a little bit, you had a state process where they had retention grants. They were called retention grants because we didn't want to take a young law student or a law graduate, train them for 2 years, and then lose them to the private sector. It's a bad business model. I mean, all of us would agree that it's a bad business model. And so, in fact, this county and most large offices have career prosecutors, people who come into the position and expect to stay here and do stay here for a number of years. And Ulster County's been blessed that way. And I think that the other, certainly Orange and Dutchess, you'll see the same thing. You'll see professional prosecutors been there for a long, long time. The law enforcement's changing. You know, it's not like when I started out. You know, started out, you hand me a file, I run in and try the case. It's not the case anymore. I mean, there are a lot of complications in the process in order for us to make sure we don't make mistakes. I mean, it's a much more complicated process and requires more training and more expertise and the goal has been to try and retain people. So in going back when Brenda was here, as Brenda Bartholomew was the personnel director, I talked to Mike Hine. I said, hey, you guys ought to do a study, much like that was considered this year, but I guess it's been put on hold. But you ought to do a study across the county and say, how are we going to handle our legal positions in the county? That's a great idea. Actually, Brenda came in with almost verbatim what I had recommended. That went into the circular file. So that's the way that is. But there are, I think, a better process would be some a thoughtful study of all of the county positions. I think it's inappropriate for me to stand here and say DAs are better than county attorneys. I mean, I would never say that, and I don't feel that. Every attorney has its own position and its own area of expertise and complication. And I think the county would be well served to have an open discussion about, let's try and figure out what the right way to do this. What I'm here today to say is, this is not the right way to do it. It's not the right way to do it is to add, you know, the public defender budget has gone up 69% in 5 years. 69%. There's $500,000 going into that budget today. And not one person in this room can offer me one statistical data that warrants that increase. Can you? Can anyone?
Mark?
So we don't just come up with those numbers. Those numbers came from the Office of Indigent Services, much like Holly referenced DCJS earlier. One of the new, and so like DCJS gives case numbers to prosecutors, Indigent Legal Services oversees public defenders, and they were the ones that recommended the settlement amount that we are now executing throughout this budget. And I'm not here to oppose Holly's, we wanted to give him an opportunity to come here, and that we added the two paralegals as far as the raises. He has the opportunity to come here and ask the legislature for that, and that's fine. But as far as anything in the public defender's office, we're basing it off the state indigent legal services.
Legislator Geraghty.
Holly, can I ask, when you went to the county execs, finance people, you lent me your budget, did you ask for these raises?
Yes, I did.
And what was the answer not given to you at that time?
The answer was not given to me at that time. It was just, you know, the process then, the new county exec was doing his thing, and I'm not finding any fault, but he was not at that meeting. He had a budget person at the meeting. It wasn't even Bert. I was very well received and said, all this makes sense. And then, you know, you get the proposed budget, and it wasn't included.
And one other thing, please. Mark, this is directed to you. You said that you had that agency make a recommendation of the settlement money. I mean, how's that fit into other states or counties that have increases in the public defender's office that we gave our public defenders the amount of money increase that we did?
Every county was given a number by Indigent Legal Services based off of what that agency felt was the need to increase. Again, this all comes from a class action lawsuit called Hurl Herring. I think we've talked about this several times, that said in New York State, public defense was that we were lacking in providing suitable public defense. A lot of it had to do with case load, and again, I know Holly said there's not a lot of great numbers because we have felony numbers, we have other things, but as far as like overall what's in the town courts, etc. But that's one of the things that we were required to hire a data person that will evaluate caseload going forward. And we were required that Indigent Legal Services Public Defense has put out better software as far as putting together caseload information. This is the 5-year initial settlement funding, and this is basically the first year, full year of implementation of the settlement.
After 5 years.
We believe that it will continue, but this was broken out as a different division so that if this funding does not continue, that these extra positions, if other funding is not found, will go away. They will sunset.
Legislator Ron.
Thank you. Just to go back to the grant funding, I understand that the number was arrived at the Office of Indigent Legal Services. But they didn't suggest salary levels, did they? Where did this? I asked this in the law enforcement committee, and I don't believe I received any acceptable, at least an answer that was acceptable to me in my mind, as to where the salaries of the new positions came from. Because one of them's at $68,000 and change, one of them's at $64,000 and change, both of which are higher than many of Holly's felony ADAs make. The answer I got as to why the one was $68,000 and the other one was $64,000 was that the $68,000 was going to do felony cases, which again doesn't explain why the ADAs who are trying felony cases who have been with the county for sometimes up to 6 years are making less than that. And then the positions that start halfway through the year actually, if you extrapolate them out to a full year, are actually in the 70s and 80s. So that's what I'd like to know is how did the county executive's office and the budget office come up with the numbers they came up with for these positions?
Working with the public defender himself. So part of this was to give parity among the different public defenders that were doing the same work. So there's different tiers depending on if their focus is felony cases. This is just a fundamental difference than the way Holly does his office. If you look at, you know, and I don't want to get too far into this, but, you know, some of these folks who we're looking to bring up from the 60s to the 70s, Holly says that is the busiest attorney in his department, but is the 11th, 12th paid attorney currently, 13, 14, somewhere in there. We are trying to do parity where if you do felony caseload, you get paid like other felony caseload attorneys. If you're in the towns, you get paid like the other towns. If you're in the city, you get paid as a city, and if you're in family court, you get paid like the other family court attorneys.
All right, the thing I struggle with about that is that Holly has come, I've been in the legislature for 12 years, I'm pretty sure that he's come almost every year trying to get some sort of parity for his ADAs because, you know, he put it in his budget request to the executive's office and it was turned down. So, you know, that's, you know, when you say that all of these salary increases in the ADA and the APD's office, or in the PD's office of all these APDs, is about parity with lawyers that are trying the same kind of cases, I think that that flies in the face of the county executive's office, both the previous county executive and the current county executive, continually denying Holly's requests for what amounts to some of the same kind of considerations.
I think if you look at the report that your own financial analysts did, you'll find, I think, 10 of the highest 13 or so assistant whatever attorneys, whether it's an ADA, assistant public defender, assistant county attorney, are in Holly's office. So part of the reason that that doesn't fly is that they are already, many of his attorneys are at the higher level of what attorneys in the county make compared overall.
Legislature.
No, it's not.
So, thank you. So, Holly, you, in terms of the requests, the salary requests, you're putting them into two different salary buckets, the proposed 74,992 and the 70,004.
So basically, 70 and 75, yes.
Okay. So, when I'm extrapolating that against your job descriptions, for the 70, you have the employees that you're citing, 74 are your employees that are 2 and 4 years, and the 75 is for the 5 and 6 years. Are you doing it by years in service or job description? How are you making a differentiation between those two number requests?
Pretty much their responsibilities, not the number of years that they've been there.
Okay.
And bear in mind, when I was not aware of any of the public defender positions, that discussion. In other words, I didn't come in. Sure, I mean, I didn't say, oh, well, gee, this public defender is getting X and such, so I shouldn't get that. I mean, I did this based on what I felt my staff had, the work that they do and the value they do, a lot of which is in comparison to other DA's offices around the state. And you will find that we are on the very low end of what the kind of work that. I mean, we're just, the fact is that the Ulster County has done well keeping salaries down for ATAs. That's a good thing. That's a goal.
Do you have that analysis? Have you done that?
Gosh, I haven't done it recently. I've done it over the years, two or three times. I've been in front of the
exec's office and said, geez, by the way, look here, and it's always been, we're not interested. So I don't have that for you today.
And, I mean, retention rates, I'm going to ask for years in service for your staff, but do you, just as a general, how have retention rates been for the district attorney's office?
Well, until the last couple of weeks, it's been good. Things are a little up, you know, we're all walking on eggshells now, as you can imagine. But I've been blessed. I mean, only a couple of attorneys throughout the years have left my employ. I've been here for 12 years, and I've hired, you know, all the people on list I've hired, and they've been here all that time. I hired Lisa and Kat when I first came on, so they've been here for 10 years or more. We've been very lucky in this county for the attorneys that represent the public defense office have stayed here almost. There's two that left. We had to encourage that. So other than that, yeah, we've been very lucky.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly the goal.
Yes, exactly. You want professional people. And can I just add?
Sure.
No?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Somebody else has a question, but that's okay.
So one of the things that I looked at this, you know, this really is more, I thought, about raises than it was about the new positions aspect. But one of the things, and I didn't have a chance to talk to you, Mark, so there's a new position for a grants writer. And that position is for a grants writer for people who have committed crime or accused of committing crime. But that same grant writer, who is theoretically an expert in criminal justice, is not a grant writer for both sides. And I don't know why that's a policy of this body to say we want a grant writer that's going to find us grants for people who are accused of a crime, but not find us grants for people prosecuting crimes. I don't get it. I mean, I don't know. Is that an intentional policy for here? And so why would that be? Why wouldn't, if you have a, and I've been asking, you know, I've been asking for grant writers forever, very ponderous process, these grants and what you have to do afterwards. It's really, really, it's just a complicated process. And I saw that in Nene's play. I said, what a great idea. Having a grants writer and a statistician, great idea. But why wouldn't that person seek grants for anybody in criminal justice? I don't get that. So I don't know. Is that an intention? Is that part of the intention here? I don't know.
I don't know. Legislator Maloney.
Well, that's an interesting point. I didn't even know much about that, and there's a couple of points to be made even about that. What I'd be concerned about is that it's somewhat political, where maybe they do want to support the public defender's office more. We wonder that with it seems as though you have a tough time getting raises for your lowest paid in the public defender's office does. So I would be concerned that it's a political decision to not give you a grant writer. It's something I'm going to be asking about over the next couple of weeks. And maybe formulating a different way or having that grant writer kind of not directly under the public defender's office, but kind of taking requests from both sides to grant write for both of you. I don't know what that would look like, and there might be legal aspects of that with regards to state, how they regulate the public defender's office and the DA's office, but I think that's...
You know, it would look like somebody for the legislature. I mean, you guys hire a grant writer.
Yes.
For... wherever you can find his money.
Maybe we could talk about putting that person into a different department that's not either an executive department or a DA department and have them, but there would have to, that's for another day,
sure,
but they
okay.
would have to take them.
We're running over, and we've got a lot of folks waiting,
I think in a way it might be a failure of the law enforcement committee over the years, but I think we should have had maybe even a special meeting or two to really go through for hours with a lot of legislators there rather than budgeting them a time, which seems like when we have this debate every year for a couple of minutes, you get 10 minutes here, we debate it, then we're ready to vote. Chairwoman Bartels mentioned a more comprehensive look. You sent me a lot last year. I'll see if I can hunt up those emails because I think there was a lot of information. I used that information on the floor to garner the votes to get two raises for you, and all the information came from you and studies that you guys have done. I think we got to take a minute, not this minute, but a minute over the next week or two, to really take a look at the public defender's office and the DA's office and their lowest paid entry level, not just paralegals, or not just lawyers, but paralegals and whatnot too. And I think we ought to, as a county, approach this to give both offices, well, one's an office, one's a department, but both sides real equal consideration, and I think we ought to almost line these jobs up. And I don't think it would take that long. I don't know if you know this, Holly, but I put in a piece of legislation that we hope they can pass that has mandates all countywide elected officials besides the executive give those budgetary requests to the legislature at the same time as the executive. Takes the onus off you. You're in a tough spot asking, giving that too much information to us.
I would love to have this conversation, Joe. Can we keep it focused on what's before us?
Let me have a couple of minutes here, because it is directly relevant. Because here we are trying to make big-time decisions on people's careers, and we may have not been making the right decision.
And
being fair, and that took 30 seconds to acknowledge it and put out there what we're trying to do. And going into last year, I was the only legislator that was committed to making sure that the DA was being treated fairly. So if I can have a minute, I'd appreciate it. You have my support. I think I'm going to look in to really diving into a comparison between the public defender's office, and I already have, and it looks like a couple of these people really deserve the raises. So I think I'm going to be a yes on it. I'm going to be fighting for these six people, and we're going to look into the that grant writer too, and see what we can do there over the next couple of weeks. And next year, if we get that passed, the next DA will be having this conversation starting 6 months ago. And I think we'd be in a lot better shape if we would have started this conversation 6 months ago.
Legislator Petit?
My question is to follow up, and I'm glad you brought up the grants. Are you currently operating under grants?
Yes.
It's my understanding that the defender's office, even though their base salary is in the low 60s to 70, that with a grant that's going to sunset in 3 to 5 years brings their base salary up to $96,000. So is that similar to the DA's office?
We have a couple of different grants. We've gotten some and lost some over the years. We have a specific grant for crimes against revenue, which is our, fraud-type crimes. We have a aid to prosecution grant. We have what they used to be the impact grant. And I don't know if that answers your question, but we do seek grants as much as I can. Gosh, we have, I think, $300,000 or $400,000 in my budget is from grants. Yeah, we do try that.
Legislator Bartels.
To talk about the grant specialist for a minute, since you highlighted the grant specialist that's proposed in the public defender's office, did you request a grant specialist in your budget and that was denied?
No. No, I didn't know this was available. I've been talking to the county execs, and, Joe's point is well taken. I've been talking to the county exec for 12 years, and maybe I should have been talking to this body. So that's my bad. I started last year. I started wising up. But anyway, I talked to Mike Hine many, many times about grant writers and tried to explain. He said, that once you get the grant, that's great, but the follow-up of that grant is brutal. And I have lawyers doing all kinds of crazy stuff trying to put stuff together to keep these grants. And anyway, there was never an interest in it. Short answer is never an interest in it. So when I make my proposals to you guys, I try and keep them, what I really need. That's what I try to do.
Right.
So anyway, short answer, I didn't ask for one. I wish I had.
Mark?
Yeah, I just want to clarify one point, that this position of the grant, as the chairwoman said, grant specialist, it's not a grant writer. They are overseeing all of the grant funding, which for the public defender's office comes its formula funding. This is basically their fiscal person. So it's the settlement money. It's the formula funding, which, frankly, the public defender's office has been back on, and they've been having a lot of help by the former, the new SUNY Ulster administration. The former deputy budget directors were assisting in catching up on some of the formula block funding, but we were kind of years behind, and this was part of the Harold Herring settlement. Money was getting in a grant specialist to help us get back on track with both formula funding, other grants, and the Harold Herring.
And not new funding?
And new funding somewhat, but that's going to be a small portion. This is the fiscal main, if you go through the position listing, this is the main fiscal person in the public defender's office.
Thank you very much. Holly, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Okay, next, Legislator Geraghty. A additional environmental funding?
Yes, I put in 5 or 6 amendments. Not that I'm, you know, questioning the reasoning or the amount of money, but I am questioning the fact that, you know, what are they funded for, like additional environmental funding? I mean, what is it going for? Is it going for a program, going for a particular use, going for, tell us exactly what it's going for, and I think that would save my curiosity of exactly what we're doing. Regarding that particular item?
Go ahead.
This is part of a special fund that was established to look at the savings that we've done over some energy efficiency projects, and it's taking that savings and reinvesting it into future energy projects that are required, some of which are required under kind of the new New York state legislation that relates to the environment. But, you know, work that we've done to both get high efficiency boilers and other things have shown significant cost savings, and this is just reinvesting that money. You'll notice that this $50,000 came along with a $50,000 department revenue as well, and that's from that reserve fund account.
But, I mean, the point is, you know, what exactly are you doing? You're saying your boilers were good, they were efficient, they did whatever they had to do, but what are you going to be talking about for the additional $50,000?
Hello.
We're calling it the Green Reserve Fund. So it is, we track and monitor all of the energy efficiency and energy conservation measures that we've implemented across county operations. A small percentage of which we're saying we should acknowledge this savings and energy efficiency and be reinvesting that back into further measures and improvements. So that's what there's the increase in revenue, and then there's the increase in professional services. What we're looking at is doing more either studies or implementation of energy efficiency measures, many of which are in the Government Operations Climate Action Plan, which is available on the county website. So it is, these are all part of, we've been working very closely with DPW on lists of actions and prioritizing them. And it can go actually be used as incremental funding to go back towards a project. Let's say if there's a more energy efficient option that we would like to explore for a rooftop unit, or we want to prioritize certain chillers or cooling towers because of certain refrigerants that we're concerned about, that we could use that as kind of to make up perhaps if a more energy efficient option is slightly more expensive, something
well,
like
that's
that.
That's what exactly I'm working for. What are those options?
Absolutely. So I would point you, instead of going through a list of options right now, to please spend some time with the Climate Action Plan on the website. It's right on the Department of the Environment homepage.
And you'll say chillers is what are your priorities?
Yes.
If you're doing something in general, I'm talking about specific things
right.
that you're going to be targeting.
Is
for
there
$50,000?
If I may, is there a list in that? Can that be a link sent to the legislator or to this committee
Absolutely,
to help us identify that?
But there, we're always working then with the existing capital program. And like there's a capital project that has multiple HVAC for multiple buildings. We would then, you know, potentially this could go as incremental money if an energy efficient option is incrementally more expensive. This could be seen as kind of a way to help implement that. But does that answer your question?
Well, you're not specifically saying a particular project, you're just saying look at an energy efficient
project. It could go towards
which would include the whole gamut of it.
So this is the beginning of the reserve, this $50,000, and as Amanda said, a portion of future savings will go in. One example, concrete example I'll give you is we're about to purchase 3 electric buses. Now, for this year, we were able to take some Volkswagen settlement money that was due to the county, and that is being used to offset the cost of what a fossil fuel bus compared to an electric bus is, so that there's actually no additional cost. We would be able, and that's not going to last forever, in the future, we would be able to use money from this reserve fund to offset the additional cost of an electric bus compared to a regular bus.
Legislator Maloney, then Ronk.
Sure. And I'm correct. Well, you're not, even what you're proposing here, Rich, is not to take this $50, just putting in a contingency.
That's
and
right.
Adding a little bit, since there's not a lot of specifics, adding a little bit of oversight and approval to the money. So and we haven't heard anything today that sounds like an extra day or two turnaround, if that's what it was, would cost, that there's nothing here that you're going to be able to go and have that money on hand in your budget. I think it's pretty reasonable. $50,000 without a lot of specifics, I think would be, you can make the argument that would be kind of poor budgeting and poor management to kind of have general ideas on what you might
Excuse me,
money.
Can we stop the negative comments, Joe? I appreciate what you're saying here.
You are so out of line right now.
I don't
Archer.
Think so.
I was voted in just like you. The comments
I understand that, but you're drawing conclusions, not in evidence. Please.
Excuse me, evidence on my opinion that this is poor budgeting? I said it was poor budgeting. Lynn, you're so out of line right now. I can't believe you don't even realize it, how out of line you are right now. That is not...
Excuse me, Joe. I've asked you, please. I've asked you to please be respectful. If you cannot be respectful...
Saying that I find it to be poor budgeting is not being disrespectful.
It's combative, and we're trying to get at answers. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. We are trying to get at answers, and that is not constructive. All I'm asking you is to please be respectful.
I'm sorry.
And
were,
not
were my colleagues on Ways and Means upset with me for thinking that that might be poor budgeting? Thank you.
Chair Archer, you're the chair.
Excuse me, I still have the floor.
Well, I was recognized.
Can we? I know you weren't. Please.
I'll tell you, I had my hand up first. So when you pointed at me and saying you didn't notice, I'm telling you right now.
We've gone to talk.
Let's
check
out
$140 million budget.
All right, kids, let's calm down and let's
well,
try to get some control over there.
Excuse me.
$140 million harder tax dollars.
Excuse me, sir.
And I can't say
excuse
I find
me,
it not
sir.
To be a great budget.
If you cannot be respectful in the way in which you're speaking with people, I will ask you not to speak any further. You can put your questions in writing. I am sorry. I am tired
of... I'd like to take a time out and go talk to legal counsel about what just happened.
Let's
and see where they went.
Excuse me, Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. I was going to make a point that I think that Joe was making it in that, you know, it's not an insurmountable, task to get money taken out of contingency if it's put into contingency. And I've got at least one amendment later on that puts money into contingency pending a plan. To come to the legislature. I do think that it would be a good exercise of our oversight responsibility when we see money being budgeted without a concrete plan on how to spend it. I mean, again, it sounds great to say that putting it into contingency means that we don't have a commitment to the environment, but I also think that, you know, we haven't had this fund for several years, and we've had an impeccable environmental record here in Ulster County. And so to behave as if we don't set up this, you know, fund, this environmental reserve fund, but it's also not listed just in the budget, but regardless, if we don't set up this environmental reserve fund, that we're not going to buy electric buses, I think, is an insult to people's intelligence.
I don't.
Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. We have an executive form of government now, and I appreciate that we should be working together to take $50,000 in the bond as for analysis and use and implementation of the energy reserve is completely satisfactory to me, especially for this amount of money for a program to go forward. I think it's micromanaging to reach in and say that this legislature is going to do a better job of handling those funds than the executive and legislature, which have not been operating in that tight and micromanaged type of way in the past, which you rightly credited for all the good work we've done. So I'm not eager to go to a way of doing government that we as a county decided not to follow 10 years ago and have seen enormous benefits from heading in the direction of letting an executive run and do stuff with coordination with the legislature on policy. And, you know, I'm surprised, really.
Legislator Jarrington.
This amendment submitted on this.
Legislator Jarrington, you...
Look at my record regarding what amendments I have introduced in the past. It's not to take away the funding most of the time. It's to clarify what the funding for and put it in contingency. At that time, the legislative body knows exactly how that money is being spent. In this particular case, yes, we have an environmental funding program. You do a great job. Hopefully you'll continue to do a great job. No one's taking that away from you. We're not trying to micromanage, at least not this, the intent of this resolution, not trying to micromanage the county exec. He has a role as a county exec to present a budget. We have a role as a legislative body to do to approve the budget. So basically, there is no ill intent here. They just clarify exactly when you get to a point what you want to do with that money. Just come back to the legislative body and say, I am going to do this and this, and it's going to cost that amount of money. Put an amendment to the budget in, and I'm sure it'll be passed.
Legislative Rock, you had your hand up.
Thanks. Just a question to Mark Ryder. Are there, you know, because a lot of our reserve funds, like the Taxpayer Protection Fund and things like that, have very specific restrictions. Are there any restrictions on the county executive's office or the Department of the Environment on the spending of these funds?
Right. It's a little different than that because it's not a formal,
I know,
reserve fund, as you stated, with the Taxpayer Stabilization Fund, which, in all honesty, I don't ever see us touching because of the restrictions. I just want to make a point that it isn't always as easy to move money out of contingency back in than it is stated. I don't know how many times over the years. I remember my colleague Ken Cronell trying to come and get money out of contingency for social services work, and it was not always like...
That's because it was Ken.
Legislator Ron has a follow-up, and then legislative...
In response to that, I would say that coming to the legislature and getting money out of contingency for something where there's a plan, I don't think is difficult. You know, it's a conversation I've had with the county executive himself. You know, I'm a pretty reasonable guy. There's a lot of pretty reasonable men and women on this legislature. And, you know, if you come to us with a plan on something, I don't see a problem with passing a resolution. What I do remember is, in times when this legislature has moved money to contingency, the executive's office has resisted to ask for it. And that is more likely the outcome of not getting the money out of contingency rather than the legislature saying no. I don't recall a lot of situations where we said no. We have asked questions. We have done our due diligence. Our oversight authority is a legislative body. But I wouldn't say that we've ever, you know, withheld funds from a department based on, you know, operating under a plan that the executive's office has come with. I do remember former deputy county executives, multiple of them, saying, well, if you put that in contingency, we're just not going to ask for it.
Legislator Petit?
When the climate action pledge was written, there was one of the pledges was that we would look at the data to see how much we were saving and reinvest into our green infrastructure. When the director of the Department of the Environment was at a committee meeting with the budget, he did refer to a green revolving reserve fund. So is there actually that fund, and would it behoove us to create one if there is not being an accountant?
That's what this is. It is a green fund. You know, it's not a formal reserve fund, but it is money from basically unallocated, not in the operating budget, to be put towards these energy conservation measures, which we're using a software package called Grids to track those so that we can look at exactly when trying to measure when in and look at before and after and really be able to improve with data that we're saving energy like we were saying we are.
So it seems like, you know, I think we have a disagreement about what constitutes a plan. This seems like a plan. It seems like exactly in line with our stated policies. We just declared an climate emergency. And I'd like for the environmental department to have some nimbleness about being able to go and do these things. There's just no question that if you put it in contingency, you have to go through some bureaucratic red tape to get it out of there. And so why do that on this? I could see if it were something where we thought the funds were going to be misspent somehow, or it was a total black box, you know, an unknown. But this seems like fairly concrete to me. So I'm satisfied that there is a plan, I guess is what I'm saying. And I would encourage on this amount of money to have some, you know, flexibility about that.
Legislator Tarantino, you want to go to your next amendment?
Town Economic Development
yep.
Match. All right, this is, there again, you know, another $50,000. I mean, what are these fees for? Not taking it away from you. Just putting again into contingency to see exactly, you know, what are you actually going to be doing with this kind of money?
I mean, this got moved to contingency last year and didn't get
requested. Did not get used.
Right. So,
so
I mean, it's up to
so you have no problem putting it in contingency?
I mean, there are potential projects that, you know, we've looked at helping. This is a one-on-one match with the towns. I mean, if I had to say, you know, defend this over the environmental reserves, I think this will help some of the local municipalities. But you moved it into contingency last year, and we never requested it.
Well, that's because we didn't have a plan last year, and we had asked for a plan. So
no, that's what I mean. And it's the same. Yeah. I don't have any further plan that I can tell you about today.
Mark, you have no problem moving to contingency then?
I would prefer it not, but I don't have a plan.
Legislator Bartels, and then Donaldson.
I mean, that was my question. Is in, I realize we're with a new executive, but it's notable that they were never requested and that a plan wasn't brought forward. I know that when I took this role, I got calls from a lot of the towns that had really specific expectations of what they believed were promised them, and they were a lot of really weird and disparate projects. As far as I was concerned, so it's like I feel like, in theory, it's possible that if we understood what, because it's written as a town economic development match, but where's the explanation of what that's going to be? Is that something that you're working on, a plan for that?
I just know that, like, last year, the type of projects that you're speaking of was, like, working with U-Pulse to add parking space in their village and other things that would help them expand visitors and economic development. So it would be used for similar types of projects. But honestly, if it's, like, $8,000 to $10,000 here and there that the towns want, if they're not pushing for it, which I know some of them may have reached out to you last year, but wasn't like this big call for them to come to us and request it out of contingency. This is something that's meant to help the towns, and so the towns need to, I don't want to say fight for it, but if they want it, they need to come let us know. I think it's the reason there isn't a plan is because it's on a project-by-project basis, and it's a match, and so we can't say these are, besides the parking lot in the village of New Paltz, I don't know what else this money was planned for.
Legislator Donaldson.
I can certainly see the worth of this type of thing, and I would like to see it even increase, but I would need to know, in other words, the criteria or the requirements that the town are meant to it's going to be, in other words, it can't be something you're going to be coming back for us again. It can't be, it's going to be used that in, allows them to enhance whatever. And then you have to have some type of a limit on it. In other words, if it's $50,000, we certainly don't want to give, we're giving 40 to one, nothing to anybody else. Or, I mean, I'd like to know what the criteria would be, and that would make me much more comfortable. But, I mean, like I said, I think this would be an excellent tool to, be a part of the town. The city itself has, like, little projects that they put aside because, they're too worried about the very things that, that need to be done. And sometimes something like this could really enhance a town or a city or a village or whatever. And but we do need to have some type of criteria.
Legislator Ronk?
Thanks. Just to follow up on what's been said, this was actually the money that I was talking about previously when the deputy county executive said to me, well, we're just not going to ask for it. And the reason it was moved into contingency the last year is because there was concern about there not being a plan, because there was concern about there not being criterion. You know, I mean, the questions that flow in my mind are, is it going to be competitive? Is each town going to get reached out to, or is it just going to be the ones who get a little tip, hey, if you ask us for money, we might be able to get you some? Chandom. Thanks, Joe. Or the squeaky wheel. But how are these town supervisors, especially say my town supervisor, one of the farthest towns from the county seat, much divorced from county government in general, how is he going to know to apply for it? How is he going to know what the criteria? There's so many questions here that I would be more comfortable moving into contingency. Even like Dave said, if you want to increase the amount of money, there's a lot of ways that we can have synergies with the towns, but without criteria and without a plan, I can't support it being in the budget.
Chair Bartels and then Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, and in addition to criteria, the question comes to me. I also was going to bring up the issue of is it going to be competitiveness, but also who's going to decide and how's the money going to be administered? Is it going to just go to UCEDA to be passed through? Like, how do we? I get where it is in the budget right now, but can we just write a grant to a town? If it's a shared service, maybe. We have more questions than answers on this subject, and I know it's been a difficult year with a lot of change, and that may. I hope that's what explains we're not coming back with a plan. But if it's something that the executive's office wants to explore and believes in, I hope that you'll come back with a plan and, parameters and details so that stuff, we can have a discussion about, because it's really hard to have a discussion about a single line in the abstract.
Okay, Legislator Maloney.
So if I could perhaps ask a follow-up depending on the answer. So what I heard was there wasn't a lot of specifics, but the one specific I did hear was you did know that there was one project that you were ready to quote and say that this was something that we would do. I don't know if you had discussed it right before I walked back in, but could you just dive in, since that's all we have to work with as an example of what this is, what these funds are going to be used for, can you give us a little more on the New Paltz project? And then I'd like to ask a follow-up.
Sure. I know it was expanding the parking lot kind of down by the creek in an area where they get cars kind of parking on the shoulder. It's a public parking lot. But if I could just, I'll follow up on that. But what I will say is I'm going to reach out to Dennis. This is in Dennis's budget line. And I'm going to have him send you the criteria and what he has for a plan prior to Monday's vote. I'm assuming he has criteria laid out. I just don't have it here, but I will.
And if we could, he did give us a one page or a half a page last year, but that it was just a general overview. And criteria is really, I think, what I'm hearing from everybody.
Criteria?
Yeah.
But I believe that folks like Legislator Ronk and others are great advocates for their town, so. Their town supervisors will, one of the ways I believe that they will hear from it is you all then go back to your towns, but that's not the only way. We'll also solicit We'll also solicit projects from all the towns and put out public notice, et cetera.
Sure.
Follow up?
I have a lot of concerns. I don't think it's enough money to accurately, even if you did your due diligence, to say that the towns are going to be treated fairly, right? It's a big county. I think we have a lot of towns and villages, and the money you're putting in here makes me worry. Sounds like a lot of discretion. And that makes me worry that certain towns will get treated, and I think we see that. And that's one of the reasons legislators are here, to make sure their towns get their fair share. And when you're leaving it up to a small amount of funds, up to a discretionary thing, I would like to ask a question. Did the deputy executive work on this at all? Because that really concerns me, that the only project you come up with is something out of New Paltz. We just had a discussion.
You mean assistant deputy?
I know.
Assistant deputy.
Yes. So
did he abstain from to have New Paltz, a small parking lot in New Paltz, be the only thing that's definitely getting these funds?
That was the only project that came from 2018.
From 2018.
With the former county executive Hine when this was first put in to the 2019 budget.
There's a lot of stuff that was coming out of 2018 that surely the new executive's not just going to do because it was something that they talked about last year. You guys made the decision to have that be the only example
and
of something you were going to do here.
This was done through the planning department with the budget director.
Okay.
We have a couple
of things.
This was not one of the...
It's an example of why 12 legislators last night.
Okay, we've had Nolan, Jarantine, Ronk, Donaldson, and then Chair Bartels.
So the purpose of these funds to me seems to be to try to get something new going that would be helpful to the towns and that over time would be distributed through the county. And it's hard when you're starting something new because you don't have a plan yet. I think it's encouraging that there's an individual case. I think we should also look back at whatever calls came to the chair's office to see if there's something in that. And good way to develop a plan is to start to look for where there's some interest. One thing that helps towns come forward with things is if they see this in the budget, they see it in contingency, it's a little less strong. I don't feel as strongly about this because I do think we're not as far along, but this is one of the places where you can get gummed up in which comes first, you know, the plan or the projects. And so to me, there's some benefit in maybe trying to go forward and get the criteria in place and then consider that the basis for having this money available.
Legislator Jarantine.
You know, I don't think the point is that we don't want to proceed with this. We do want to proceed with it, but there again, I think what I'm hearing from everybody else and myself included, that you have some kind of game plan how you're moving forward. Once you have that game plan, you have an applicant, a couple applicants, you come bring those plans back to the legislative body, they pick plan A, B, or C, and proceed that way, where all three could be funded at that time. Mark, I mean, I think you could cease this conversation to say, put in a contingency, and you'll look at it at a later date with the criteria, how you're going to pick, what project you're going to pick, and then you can go out and the legislators could tell their supervisors, because they are now looking at the budget, Kathy. I can assure you that legislators or supervisors from each town don't look at the county budget. It is much too big based on what their budgets are.
Your
but
my supervisors tell me they hear money's available sometimes.
I'm not out of order.
Mark, if you would, you know, just say that you know, you're very comfortable putting into contingency and that you would work on it harder to, you know, move this whole conversation, I think we can make it something work for everybody.
Ronk, Donaldson. I'm sorry. I didn't see your...
No, it's all right. If I can respond, I mean, I'm not going to concede. What I'll do is I'll have Dennis send the criteria, and if the committee decides that the criteria makes sense and that this is something that should be moved forward and not put into contingency, then we'll go from there. Otherwise, but I want to have the opportunity to have Dennis send in some information instead of just conceding that this is something that should automatically be moved to contingency.
Okay.
Thank you. You know, I know that you it was a nice compliment you gave me about, you know, what a good advocate I am for my town, and you're sure that I'd make sure that the town knew and that we wouldn't get left behind necessarily. But I can tell you that, you know, the governor's regional economic development councils have left the town of Shawangunk behind in every single, you know, funding allotment. When towns around the county that have maybe a majority of Democrats living in them, like Rosendale and New Paltz and Kingston, have received millions of dollars over the Regional Economic Development Councils. Tanishagam's put in several, you know, very, I think, competitive applications for CFA funds through the Economic Development Councils, and they haven't received any. I think that one problem that I have with that is that there's not criterion, and there's not a plan. And, you know, it's the governor and his appointees make that decision on where the money goes. And sometimes I have questions based on advocating for my constituents about whether or not those decisions are being made in a political manner. And the idea of having set criterion here, you know, before us, before we spend the money, before we authorize the county executive to dole it out as he sees fit, you know, would make me more comfortable about it. To Legislator Nolan's point, I definitely agree with you that the town supervisors do look at the county budget and read the county budget. I think that maybe some of your supervisors had a better relationship with the former county executive than other supervisors around the county, and maybe that's how they knew that there might be money available. But I also don't think that, you know, they're going to know that in the $481,700 in professional services in planning, that $50,000 of it is allocated for, you know, local economic development, you know, local town economic development match. Nor are they going to know what that means unless we actually have before us a plan so we can transmit it to them.
I think Donaldson, then Chair Bartels, and then Legislator Maloney.
Well, I ask at this point is that, you know, rather than making these political statements about the state and all that, let's stay zeroed in on what we're doing here.
Okay,
and I think you could sit down, like, for instance, and I really would like to see this happen, the legislature and the executive sit down and work out for tribe criteria and requirements. I mean, things like, how is it going to help your town? How will it actually help surrounding towns or the citizens without, you know, in that town? Like, for instance, you were talking about New Paltz and the parking problems. Well, it may be an idea that because, you know, because of the school, there's a lot of people that come in there from outside New Paltz, obviously, so it makes sense to do that because it's benefiting more than just that town. So, I mean, that may be one of the pieces on the criteria. But, I mean, I really think that we need to work that out. And as I said before, I'd rather see at least twice that amount of money in there, because if you're going to put money in there, I think you need to have some money in there that's going to make some differences a little more. But I see maybe why the $50,000, you know, it's a start, and if it's successful, then, you build on it. But I would agree that the contingency until we actually have something, and I think we can work together on this and get something together kind of quickly. I mean, it doesn't require you come up with an idea and create ground rules for it and put together something that's going to really benefit each and every town if possible.
Okay, so Chair Bartels.
I think I was going to clarify that if we're not going to talk about the example that was given, I was going to clarify
okay.
that, but I think I need to.
Legislator Green.
I just wanted to suggest that to me it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of need. There could be benefit, but it doesn't sound like there's a lot of demand. But if criteria are specified, I would suggest that somebody go to the Town Supervisors and Mayors Association so everyone gets to be aware of this program and, you know, maybe somebody will miss being there, but it's in the minutes. But at least there's some equal outreach. So that's my suggestion.
Legislator Maloney.
Yeah. First, I'd just like to, respectfully critique what Mr. Donaldson said. And I think it's so important for elected officials to be honest about their experiences and about concerns, especially when it was a generic concern, and that is the reality of government. There are billions of dollars being given away around New York State, and many times, turn on the news tonight, you'll hear a story about another discretionary, poorly given money for all the wrong reasons. And I think the people out there want us to come up here, and I think Ken does a very good job of making that point. wasn't putting his thumb in anybody's eye, but it's a reality, and it's a reality that we have to be cognizant of. And if we're not, believe me, money's going to be given out to places, even if it's not on purpose, which sometimes it's going to be, to people that have relationships or are more involved. And when you talk about a criteria, that's a pretty generic word. I think we need an algorithm, and I think it needs to involve population and perhaps tax revenue. You know, you take the sales tax and a portion of the property tax that goes from that town to the county, you take the population, and you come up with an actual, and then you take, whether it's $200,000, $5,000, whatever we put in this, you spread it out every year. Every town is eligible for X number figured out by this population tax revenue. You take all the politics out of it. If they don't come and get it, it goes back into the general fund next year. I'm guessing these towns will know how much they're getting, what they're getting. They'll put together a very good plan, in theory, a much better plan than just hearing about it. Somebody says, hey, if you're first here, they come up with something, and you know what you end up with? A parking lot somewhere, meeting them halfway to fix a parking lot. And I think that was just because we don't put enough proper planning into things. And the only way I'm going to vote for this is if I see something that tells me this is going to be fair and every town's going to get a piece of this pie every year. Otherwise, I do think we're going to waste money. And one way or another, whether it's intentional or unintentional or kind of a combination of both, insiders around the town are going to come up with bad ideas that get money to their town.
So I think we've had some really good conversation here. Thank you. But we really are very far behind, and we've had a lot of the similar suggestions being reiterated by each of us. So if I can, I would like to try and keep us focused on, if you've got something new to add, let's add it. If you feel there's something that was missed, please put it out there. But I want everybody to have a comment, but I also want to get through this. So if everybody's in agreement, if we can proceed in that way. Would you like to go to
certainly
the next
try, Lex, there,
I will. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, preschool. This was brought to my attention in looking for the budget. If you have a chart from 2016 to recommended on 2020, it goes from $12,700,000 all the way to $15,950,000. Right now, we actually spent $12,638,000. I talked to Mark earlier today. This was as of November. If I'm misspeaking, please tell me, Mark, but do you feel that December's is going to be probably $3 million cost for the preschool?
Yes. That's correct. With the run out for things that we pay in January and February, that posts back to December's budget numbers, because that's when the services were given. That's why it's showing in New World that we're below, but really we anticipate in the social services budget, overall county budget, about a $3 to $3.5 million, well, in social services, a $3 to $3.5 million deficit, and it's because of this preschool money and early intervention. Both of those are just trending upward, and they're programs that we pay but don't control.
And so is there a lag in reimbursement?
Yes, because when we get an invoice, we pay 60 days, so, and then we get reimbursed from there.
All right, if you can verify that we're going to spend $3 million in December, I will pull this.
I spoke with Pete, who is the fiscal person over, Pete Carney, and that's what he has said that we historically spent in that month of December is $3
million. He's convinced that we've already overspent this, so we're underwater just that.
Okay, well, you see where I'm coming from based on the numbers that I see. We had some room in there, but if you're telling me that we're going to spend $3 million in December, then I'll take it at that word and, pull this resolution.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Next, innovation professional services. There again, this is an item that, tell me exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it. I'm not taking the money away. I'm just putting it into contingency. But just tell me what the plan is for this particular item.
I'm happy to outline some detail about this if that helps. So it's a $20,000 professional services budget, of which $5,000 is for training, which includes workshops and training materials, both for the three-person team that is the innovation team and then for the departments that we'll be working with during 2020. And so that really comes out to about $1,600 per member of the team for training for a function that's brand new to the county, and I think that's a pretty modest investment in training for an important function. So that's the $5,000 for education and training. The $15,000 for other professional services, as I'm sure you can appreciate, this is a new unit doing new things, and so the sketch for that is to have about $5,000 for data tools and forms to work with our departments to track and define the outcomes and objectives that they're trying to achieve, and then to include data about the performance towards those objectives. We do have a lot of data systems in the county, but none that are geared specifically to this, and so over time, as we put those systems into place, we'll be then working to hopefully reduce that over time so that we can include that data in existing systems rather than having to get something new. But so a chunk of it is for that. We'll have some specialized projects that will require some advanced support, whether it's for the kind of analysis that we want to do or the ways that we want to collect data. And then we'll also have printing and supplies and other miscellaneous expenses.
So why didn't you tell us that before? I mean, we didn't put this amendment in.
Sorry that it didn't get you sooner.
All right. Any questions? I'll move on. Next one.
Are you withdrawing the amendment?
Seriously, yes.
You have a question?
With regards to training, there's a million types of training depending on what department is. Do other counties have an innovation team? Or we're kind of leading, I don't know a lot what you guys are going to be doing. It's kind of nuanced.
Sure.
So what kind of trainings are you going to be going to? Because there may not be a lot out there specific to a department like this.
There won't be any. I would assume there are not many specific to departments like our county, but the methods are common for other types of analysis at the state level, at the federal level, and in private sector. And so these will be data collection methods, data analysis methods, reporting methods, all of that.
So you'd be going on trainings probably similar to what the comptroller's office, our budget analysts, or certain people in the finance department would be going on. Known departments like that would be the people you're probably there with.
There may be some overlap with functions that other departments perform, but I think a lot of this will be different, and it'll be used by my team for different purposes than it would be used by other staff within the county.
Okay. All right, next, Rich.
Next is recommended management non-union raises. This was based on any raise that was over 4%. We had them noted. As Holly has said, he went through a proposal that he had a little more detail regarding what those titles were. There again, if Mark's not here, I mean, who can speak in regard to this about some of these raises? I mean, we heard about the public defender raises.
Let's table this and let's go. Do you have one more, Rich? No.
No, I'm done.
Now, Joe, Innovation Division.
Sure, this is just salary changes, right? And I just want, you know, to have a tough and honest but professional and respectful conversation because Mr. Weedman was not part of ACE, but I do think we've had Burke just yesterday refer to the innovation unit as ACE, and kind of as just a newer version, kind of their new play on ACE. And I think almost every legislator here, maybe not everyone, but almost every legislator of the legislature as a whole, looking back on ACE, don't feel we got the bill of goods we were sold 7 or 8 years ago. I don't know a lot about what they oversaw with Golden Hill. I've had a lot of complaints come to me around the county about that they did not handle all of New World. For 4.5 staff and all the money that goes along with it, I'm not sure we got what we wanted or thought we were going to get out of it. Originally, the county exec, when it was created, told us it was going to be an auditing function. I think they did one audit. So I think there should be a little bit of healthy skepticism because this new innovation unit looks to be
made up of, we're not bringing a lot of new people in, we're moving people around. It's all county employees that were here for the last couple of years, many of them involved and close to ACE and finance. So I do think that we have to say, not just blindly say, oh, look, innovation, that's a good word, finding risk. You know, these are great one-liners, but the proof is in the pudding. And when we're putting together a team like this to pay the person that's going to be in charge $98,000, I'm a fund appropriator. I'm one of 23 that has the power of the purse, and I think it's our job to ask the tough questions. And there are people, the rank and file of this county are struggling. You know, I talked about it last night with our CEOs. There's some people that are really struggling. They're not making much money, and we're making choices, it seems, in this budget that lean towards the people at the top. And I just think that with this innovation unit, I lined up the salaries with our clerk of the legislature, who's been here holding a lot of hats very impressively for many years. I don't see why we would go any higher than that salary at the beginning of this innovation unit. And our senior financial analyst for the second in command, I don't see how to justify the salaries. I'll remind everyone, this is the public sector, not the private sector. And I wonder whether we could find these jobs with this description in the private sector in this county at that high of a rate. So I think it's responsible. I think it's fair. I think it's fair when you think about the rank and file to pull back these salaries. To be honest, the individual, Mr. Wiederman, with all due respect, who's taking on this role, is going to get a large raise from the position he went to. Now, he originally went into a position that was at a higher pay rate than the legislature originally anticipated, but because the man that was there before was a lawyer, we had paid Mr. Longtill more. We did not bring Mr. Wiederman's pay down when he took over that. Now we're going to do the same thing again, move him into another position that we don't have a lot of information on, that actually is taking over a unit that has been that we've been very disappointed in, that's wasted a lot of tax dollars. And I think we need to start having honest conversations about these management pay raises. And I think that's why I'm here, to ask questions like this to people. You know, there's a lot of people, we got a couple hundred thousand people, and 99% of them don't make this kind of money in this county. And I think it's a fair question, and I think it's a fair salary that I put in there to start. And if you guys can come back in the next year or two and show us some real savings the same way that ACE couldn't, then we can talk about a hundred and some odd thousand dollar salary.
Martin?
I just want to clarify one point that Legislator Maloney made, and that's that this unit is made up of the same people, which is just not the case. Tim is the new director, and currently there, once the 2020 budget comes, there will not be a single person that was in ACE in the new unit. So this is a completely different skill set. I believe if you did look in the private sector and look at comparable consulting work, that you would find higher salaries than what we're paying. We recognize that this is public sector position, and so, but if you went to Deloitte or other places where Tim worked in the past, I believe that you would find higher salaries in the public sector, and that's been adjusted looking at that. I believe these are fair for what they are, and I'm not going to compare it to any other position. And that
you can send those to me. I disagree. And I didn't say, I just like to clarify and respond. He did comment on something I said. I did not say. I actually said that there was difference. They were all county employees that had worked in and around finance and interacted with ACE. I did not say that this is the employees from ACE are now the employees of innovation.
Well, and yesterday, Joe, just for a point, we talked about innovation. You weren't here at the time we talked about it. The role of this unit is, well, it may sit in the same county line, the cost center line, however you refer to it, as ACE. It is a whole different unit. It's more akin to an internal consulting unit in an effort to, A, try to shift and change from just measuring how much business we're doing or how many people we're providing services to the way in which we're providing services. And so, you know, we're looking at it in a very different way, which is what the name is invoking. And as an internal consulting, if we were to go outside and try to bring someone, a consulting firm, in to try to help us shift and change attitudes, the way in which we're approaching government today, it would cost a heck of a lot more money. So I hear you, but and one other component that I think is really important, and we didn't touch on it yesterday, but I was thinking about this. We're also building some capability and capacity. We're going to be putting people in here who's going to be touching every part of government. And as we look at an aging workforce, and we're going to have people moving, we have opportunities with this for succession. The whole point of putting all the data of all the actual expenses for this unit into their lines are to ensure that we can measure what they're doing, how much it's costing us, and the value
idea. That was my idea. Yeah, that was my point. I'm the one that pointed that out, that the innovation team had started out with zero transparency.
Right, and we put that in here. So, this is all. So
those expensive firms you're talking about, I think, would have had itemized expenditures and what we were getting a little more. But that you're talking about bringing in.
We've done it, Joe.
We can disagree. we can agree to disagree.
Okay.
That was a great. You guys should use that. I almost felt like I was talking to the executive himself. So.
Okay, great. Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. You covered the points that.
Okay, great. Any other questions? Okay. And the next one. I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
No,
I apologize.
No,
back
you,
to
you.
Mark,
oh, yes, right. To your increases.
Bert's, I'm trying to figure out where Bert is. I can speak to many of these, but he should be able to speak to all of them.
You want to wait for Bert to say?
I have no problem.
Okay, so then let's go to the next one, Legislator Maloney.
This is just food for thought. We've done without it. I think I've spoken about leveling the playing field for basically everybody in the rest of the entire county who's not in the executive umbrella. And I think post-charter, we got to start doing this more and more. And looking at the amount of appointees, the fewer and fewer tested positions, and there's a lot of danger that goes along with the amount of appointees that we're starting to accumulate. We've gone a ways without it. We've actually used something that was slightly offensive to me, as it appears we used that extra money from Ms. Ryder's vacating that position to give management raises outside the budget process. So this is I think we've proven we can move on with two deputy county executives, and I'm just looking to save the money and take away an appointee, which I think we should start looking at. More tested, less appointee. I think the county would be better off for it, and I think it protects people, give people a union.
My only point is that this isn't going to be a vacant position for much longer. I know the county executive has a plan, and I'm not here to make any announcements for him. I will say that I have heard many complaints over the last year on the lack of communication from the county executive's office to the legislature and others, and part of it is the fact that at times I was the only deputy county executive, at times it's been John and I, at times it was Ken. I mean, we need to be back up at three. It's a lot of work in this position. Over trying to oversee all of the departments is not the ideal situation, and really, I think it would be a shame if the third deputy position was eliminated.
Legislator Ron.
This is also going to contingency. I just want to point that out, that if the county, I understand the county executive may not be ready to, announce something, but there's, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 legislators and 8 legislators in the room who all have telephones. If he wants to feel free to share his vision with us, maybe we'll change our mind before budget day. But, my concern is, I think, a parallel concern of Joe's, that, some of the money from a vacancy that existed in this office was used, I believe, if not against what the policy is of the county or has been of the county, but at least, skirting the edges of it by giving a large salary increase to a position outside of the legislative process.
There's some, I think, disagreement among attorneys on whether or not the county executive had the authority to give that raise or not, without coming to the legislature to increase the salary. But, I that gives me pause in leaving a large pot of money for the county executive to do whatever he sees fit with, in the form of a vacant position in the personnel line. But again, this little table here changed my mind. That's all I can say to the executive's office.
Okay, Legislator Maloney, your next item.
No, thank you, Legislator Green.
No.
We're going, so we're going to have to skip down to. I can wait.
All right, so. Joe, it's the Economic Development Professional Services. Your next.
It's the next one in the packet, but the next one, the schedule was green.
Okay, so that's the problem. There's two schedules. Okay, so Legislator Green, why don't we go ahead with yours?
Okay. This is for the Environmental Compliance Officer.
Yes.
I just want to say there are two typos, and one of them is actually they're both. There's three typos, one here and two in the job description. What was the green business coordinator is a position in economic development, but the compliance officer, if it is approved, really should sit in. Be housed in
the Department of Environment.
Department of Environment, yeah, and that was my mistake. And also, there are a few places where environment, which is a hard word to spell, do a spell check on the word environment.
We'll clean that up.
I have a good one. But the reason I'm bringing this up is that. Over the past couple of years, we've passed a lot of environmental legislation, and each time it's a question of how is this going to get enforced? It doesn't rise to the level of the sheriff or law enforcement. It's compliance with environmental regulations that. In some cases, that is, would be handled by the state, but for the county laws, there needs to be someone who knows how to do environmental compliance, and that can also, help with enforcement of state legislation. But it's not their responsibility. Their responsibility would be all of the various different environmental laws, unless. It is already housed somewhere else and should be. Right now, it for the food waste composting law, it's up to the county executive to figure out where that is going and how it's going to be enforced. But it just occurred to me that this is not the given that we've identified a climate emergency. This is not the last piece of legislation that is going to require environmental compliance. So I thought this would be a good time to bring that forward.
And this is a plus one, right? This is an additional headcount.
Yes, okay. And there is also when the staff research. What would be an appropriate salary? It occurs to us that given the extra staff that the coordinator of the Department of Environment is going to have to be managing, not just this, but there are one or two other positions, that salary should probably be increased as well. So that's
Legislator Maloney.
What is the salary?
Legislator Maloney. It's on the sheet.
I know. I'm not finding that sheet.
75,000.
It's 75?
73. So the coordinator was making 73. The new position is 75.
This is an important
The policy. New compliance position is 75,000.
Yeah.
I think that we have already probably overloaded Ms. LaValle and the Environmental Committee with what we've passed already. I'm in complete agreement that they probably need an enforcement officer. I'm not sure about 70. We have accountants and lawyers making less than that in this county, but I'm all for it. I think we do have to figure out the right spot for the salary to get somebody that's going to be capable with the proper resume that they feel comfortable with. I don't know if 73 is where I'm comfortable, but I'm very comfortable with this position being created. And I think we've already overloaded the environmental department, and we just keep passing more and more and putting on. So I'm all for the enforcement officer. I do think we need a conversation about the salary and do our due diligence and make sure we find the right number that's fair for both sides, the taxpayer and the department and anybody else.
Chair Bartel.
I was going to ask if before Monday, ideally planned, do we get the correct org chart because
yeah, we know we have errors there.
For economic development.
That may be an old package too.
And then also, I was asking if we could get the correct org chart because the org chart in the packet is for economic development.
Yes.
And so, and then the other thing, just as a friendly, potentially just a suggestion would be. The title is Environmental Compliance Officer, and I know we talk about both the salary as it relates to compression and take into consideration Legislator Maloney's thoughts and concerns in terms of the salary, but I don't know if it would be appropriate to call it an Education and Compliance Officer. It's something I'd like to have the discussion with the, not necessarily right now, but with the director of the department, because again, the duties you talk about education and outreach, and I like to, it's getting how we phrase things, and I think that the education component is going to do a lot of the compliance work. You know what I mean? It's the lead of a compliance, is letting people even know that there is a law. So, again, it's semantics, but I think sometimes these kinds of semantics, especially when we're talking about outreach, and it's something that the coordinator of the department's talked about before about the Department of the Environment kind of walking that fine line between being the one to say you're in violation and the one to provide the information, being seen as a partner or a regulatory agency. So it's just a name, but I'd like to have that conversation.
Legislator Brain.
Yeah, I think there's also some concern, however, about mixing those two roles. And education is in here. I know that the UCRA for food waste composting is going to be doing generic education, but not necessarily going to a specific generator. And, you know, maybe the answer is two different positions. I don't know. I'd like to ask the coordinator, if I may, to weigh in on that. We talked a little bit about it, but just really to moving forward on that one question of education and compliance.
I do have some of the hesitation about the role, like Legislator Bertel was saying, of enforcement, and also that if that also includes if there are laws where there are fines involved, because our department is not set up to do hearings nor to cite violations, collect money. There's a lot of administrative burden, and even an additional person wouldn't offset a
Chair Bartels.
Sorry, I didn't use my mic before. And also on that front, some of the regulations that, I mean, this is really for broad benefit, not just for yours, Legislative Green, because I know you know this, but some of the regulations that we put into effect because we gave the latitude to the executive's office for compliance and for the enforcement, in some cases, it already exists. No matter whether or not we create this position, it already exists. The enforcement exists in other departments. So on something like polystyrene foam, as this person would be dealing with polystyrene foam, it would, just by the nature of the fact that the enforcement doesn't exist in the environment, it would be more of an educational component. So that one, because by the way we drafted the legislation and the latitude we gave the executive, the compliance and enforcement exists elsewhere, and it's logical because for restaurants, health is already going into all those places, so it was a logical fit. I think it's probably something that we could, you know, we could work out, because I agree with you that we need more support, and I support, and I've repeatedly supported more staffing to your department, in that I have full confidence that I know that you'll leverage that staffing in a way that the county will see a multifactorial benefit from it. So,
Mark?
I do want to add that compliance doesn't have to be fully enforcement. So we could have a compliance officer in the Department of the Environment. They go to McDonald's, who's still doing passive, let's say, for the straws. They notice that. They could be an educational piece and say, hey, did you know this law exists? They can then go back to the Department of Health, who is the enforcement officer, and say, can you please follow up, you know, next week and ensure. So I think that we would go a long way having a compliance officer with the new laws that have been put on that department, or I would say on the administration, to enforce as a whole. But I would see this person as doing outreach, education, and some form of ensuring compliance.
Okay, thank you.
Legislator Ron?
Well, if I may, both to your changing
I'm sorry, Legislator Petit, I forgot that your hand was up. Did you have a question? Then you. Sorry, her
hand. That's all right. My hand was up a half hour ago.
So was hers. I apologize.
After all the conversation, I don't know if I really could formulate a question, but, you know, I do believe we need compliance, especially with new legislation. We'll continue to have it as we also develop our solid waste plan. It obviously, it should be within the Department of the Environment. We cannot expect the director, who's also in the middle of MS4 compliance, and, you know, to do all that yourself. I may have a concern about the salary, because it's awfully close to the current director's, and you just have the background and the expertise in it. But there does need, along with compliance, and the Resource Recovery Agency does this, their officer does go out, and there is an element of education. They don't go out with guns blazing and start ticketing and arresting people. As far as the county recycling law goes, there is an avenue if they are ticketed, because we do have a hearing officer that was written within the law. I'm not sure about the composting now and the other laws, if we also put that in as well. And additionally, the concern is with the health department. They don't seem to have the staffing to do the enforcement. They were concerned when they came to Health and Human Services to present their budget, and they're also losing several senior staff people. So they're worried about the learning curve as they incorporate new staff in.
Okay,
so.
Legislator Rump.
Thank you. I'm going to be very brief. I feel like when you see a number like $124,955 going into compliance in all of these laws that we've been passing over the last several years, I feel like a bill of goods has been sold to the taxpayers, because repeatedly on the floor of this legislature, it has been stated that these laws were not going to cost the taxpayers, because it was going to be, you know, a word of mouth thing, and they were going to be self-enforcing, and here we have $124,000 going into
you know, enforcement and compliance. I feel like, you know, I feel like any legislator that wants to support this should go back and listen to the statements that were made on the floor of the legislature saying that these laws were not going to cost the taxpayers.
Legislator Maloney.
That's a fair statement. I was one of the ones that said word of mouth. I thought word of mouth could be part of this. They won't only be doing that. But I think that's fair, and I've been really disappointed at times. We have a really big county, and I've been really disappointed at the amount of businesses I see out of compliance. And I've been really disappointed that we haven't been able to do more with that with the compliance on these, especially these last few resolutions and policies that we got passed. But I think it's really fair what Ken's saying, because we did vote on this. I asked for votes saying that I did not want enforcement to be part of this, but I don't know what to do, because a lot of these things aren't being done by businesses, and some of them are fairly large businesses. So I think Mark has talked about a big campaign coming up soon. Hopefully I'll see a change in that. Perhaps we should wait to see what the word of mouth campaign does. But I think it's fair. I gotta say, I was one of the ones saying it, and it's fair, because I did not foresee, and here I am supporting an enforcement officer.
So I'd like to move back to Legislator Jarrington's salary amendment, since Bert is here. So
Bert, we waited all afternoon for you.
I apologize.
No, I don't apologize. Just to answer the question, we were talking about the salaries, non-union salaries that are over 4%.
Yeah.
There's a list of them.
Yeah.
You have the DA. You have public defenders. You have.
I will say, I speak on the public defenders.
Yep.
They have a council of first experience grant, where some of the part-time attorneys who are working 42 hours for the 2 weeks were increased to 52 and a half. Cover the council at first appearance, where they're like working at through the night, not through the night, but when called on at night. That also goes for, there's two full timers, 1188 and 1189. Instead of receiving on call pay, they wanted a lot more than what the salary increase is. That would be position 1188 and 1189. Mm-hmm. They're also part of that first appearance, council at first appearance.
What were the other ones that were?
They're the part-time. They were the ones that were highlighted. Was it 1151? 1154? Yeah, it's all six of them are council at first appearance. So that's why the PD one.
All right, so they're going from 42 and a half hours to 52?
There's four that are going from 42 and a half, 42 to 52 and a half. There's two full-timers. Instead of them getting on-call pay,
right,
for being on-call every week, it was a conservative, it's to increase their salary to cover that. It was cheaper that way. They have to go out it. Just to explain what Council of First Appearance is that they all oversee a quadrant of the county, and there's two in each quadrant, so they'll go back and forth each week, being on call. And for council at first appearance, which is now a requirement, they have to go out in the middle of the night and be there so that they're there for their first arraignments. This is a new requirement on these attorneys.
And it is a grant through New York State as well.
Our next clerk, county exec.
I think we've talked this one, you know, we've explained this raise, and as people have spoken, it was done mid-year, but it was a parity. We had two assistant deputy county executives. One was getting considerable amount, $19,000 more than the other. In the prior administration, that may have made sense because they had separate duties. Now they have very similar duties. They're just they're overseeing different parts of the executive's office. So it was a parity issue.
legislator, if we could, we have a question.
I mean, we've talked about it, and we'll talk about it again. This one was this one was a little alarming and a little offensive. We had a base pay for this position, and we just keep raising it. And I think it's time to go back down on both positions to the original pay rate. If you $88,000 a year, and this is all I'll say, and then we can go on to the county clerk. At $90,000 a year, with the job duties and the description of that job, you would have 5,000 county residents around uptown Kingston waiting for that job. I mean, it's... And the way it was done outside the budget cycle from another line of salary line was offensive to the taxpayer.
You're not attempting to remove both of them in this budget amendment.
Well, that's Jarrington's amendment.
Yep. So the legislator Jarrington is not attempting to lower both assistant deputy county executive positions. So I just want to be clear. This is only decreasing the one position, so it'll go back
I'm
to
aware
the same.
Of what my colleague is doing with this resolution that's sitting here in front of us. Thank you.
Well, that doesn't mean another legislator could put something else in before budget time. But just next, motor vehicle, county clerk.
Yeah, the deputy, this isn't a, it's an increase in hours, 35 to 40 hours. They have more hours down in the county clerk's office. This is the DMV deputy county clerk.
Nina sent me a packet. I just finished. They're going up to 40 hours, like Bert just mentioned.
It's just this position, Rich.
Right,
not
this
position.
Just
this
she does put in over 40 hours a week. It seems like she's generating a lot of revenue, what she is doing. She gave me her timesheets where she is putting in substantial over 8 hour a day. She does get no comp time.
No. Well, she can earn comp time up to 5 days.
5 days, right?
Yeah. At 35 hours. At 40, she will not earn comp time or overtime.
Next, county attorney office. Let's go by each line, please, if you don't mind.
I mean, I believe a detailed piece of paper was sent from the county attorney. Maybe it didn't make it to this committee. I think, Bert, you've spoken to the county.
Well, yeah, I think that was the details provided.
I'd have a copy. Anybody else?
Because I did forward it to the clerks from the county attorney.
For the first one is the first assistant county attorney. Several years ago, 5,000 was removed by the previous county attorney for this position, and this is just restoring that money.
The first
assistant county attorney, 5,000 was removed in the past, and the current county attorney believes that should be restored.
When was it removed?
I think 5 or 6 years. When the county attorney, who's the county attorney now, when he was brought into that first assistant position, $5,000 was cut from that position. When he was brought on, and he believes it should be restored.
For what reason?
As far as this is a person who, it's the first assistant, so it's someone who is helping him oversee the rest of the
department.
I think
why
it was cut.
I don't know why it was cut originally.
Did they think it was over? Just maybe they thought it was too much.
I mean, I think if you were to look at, this is the first assistant county attorney position, if you were to look at the assistant district attorneys or others, you would see that it's nowhere in line even with that.
Is this the deputy?
Well, it's just
they don't have a deputy. They're all assistant county attorneys. It is essentially the deputy. It's
but it's classified with everyone else?
Yes.
Okay.
Why isn't there a separate title?
Yeah. Why isn't there?
There just never has, and in the charter it's written that way that they'll have as many whatever assistant.
County.
There isn't a deputy county attorney in the charter.
I wasn't asking about an assistant. A deputy,
go ahead. No, that's all right. Finish your question, then Joe.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wasn't suggesting a deputy, but this concept of a first, if it's an internal understanding that one is the first, then that's an internal understanding that something outside of that happens outside of the charter. I mean, that's what becomes hard for us. We're charged with setting salaries. And we have job titles. So you can't, on the one hand, go, well, that's what the charter says, and then on the other hand say, well, but actually it's something else. It's just not what the charter says. I feel like it makes it really hard for the legislature to do its duty
as the body that's supposed to set salaries and salary ranges if you don't have accurate titles reflecting. I'm not speaking to you exactly. I'm sort of speaking
in general. Yes. Legislator Maloney.
Sure. You know, and I've had a lot of issues with the county attorney's office. I'm not the only one. Legislator John Parody has had the same issues through the years. And I think we find ourselves with charter duties that are not often what some of these county attorneys are working on. I don't know, 15, 20 years ago when the first conversations of the charter began, if anyone envisioned a county attorney's office the way we have it, you can look to other counties, they don't all, you know, we have a growing county attorney's office and they, like I said, are not always working on charter mandated jobs. Just in committee this week and last week, we had long, very taxpayer expensive funded memos that were sat on for months at a time that were all to undermine policies, pretty minor policies. And I think when we think, at least when I'm voting and thinking about these raises to this county attorney's office, I'm going to be thinking about what this county attorney's office has been up to in a lot of different ways, drawing up ethics complaints, undermining ethics laws, undermining quite some of our environmental laws, not trying to help, but undermining. So I'm not real excited to see 6, 12, and 10% raises without a lot of description on what they've been working on, because I know what they've been working on.
Legislator Nolan?
Different perspective. I find them these memos on the legislation that we're proposing to be very helpful, and we have over 10 years shown that the county attorney's office has protected the county and has protected the taxpayer. So I think the protestations in a different direction don't have any facts to support them.
Since that was a comment to what I said, I'll give you the 10-page Judge Mott State Supreme Court ruling that is pretty aggressive and is proof that there was some time and money wasted by our county attorney's office. So if you'd like some facts, I'll hand it to you. I'd love to see what you think.
Please do.
Okay. Legislator Geraghty, you want to finish up?
Yes. Next county executive. We did that one.
Sorry, but we only did one of the attorneys.
Actually, we did two, didn't we?
We just did one so far.
Okay, the other one was a 12% increase, going from 65 down to 73.
Right, and this one is that the attorney is taking on quite a bit more motion practice than was first being done, and saved the county considerable amount of money doing so, but also is putting a considerable more amount of time into that. And the last was that we've gone out a couple times to try to find an experienced contract attorney. We've not had any luck in recruitment, and when people come in to interview and then turn the job down, oftentimes it's out of line with salary. And so we have a contract management portion of the county attorney's office that sees essentially every contract that goes through there, and having a more experienced contract attorney will help out that department greatly.
Do have to excuse myself, but I would again request we have an audit out for salary comparison, so we could take a good healthy look at contributions for medical.
It's on hold.
And it's on hold.
Pause. Pause.
And an organizational structure. I would like to see an organizational structure of the county with departments. There has been comparisons based on gender of base pay and salaries. I think if we had that, it would make things a lot easier, and including having the correct job titles. So I don't know when that'll be in the works. That I imagine that would be through the Personnel Committee, which is Economic Development. Is that correct?
Yeah. Personnel is Ways and Means.
Yep. It's Ways and Means. That's an embarrassment.
Sorry.
So I would really like to take a more aggressive look at that. You know, it's too late for this budget cycle, unfortunately. But, you know, I would like to see that everybody's on a level playing field, you know, based on gender, based on job descriptions, and that we understand fully the titles that are within each department.
Yep. Mark?
I do believe when it comes to attorneys, you don't need to wait for the Evergreen study because your own financial analysts have put together a pretty comprehensive study of all attorneys throughout the county, including title, gender, etc. It was great work that they did, but it'll show you where these attorneys, where they are in line of salaries overall.
I
thought that there was gender in it. I'm not sure.
Next was assistant deputy. We talked about that. Public defenders. We talked about that.
Probation director is next.
Right. Yeah. Probation. Clerk.
Yeah, I think this one was 5,000 was removed. And a previous probation director that gets it back to where it was.
And what was the increase? Just to bring them back to the
yes.
original?
Yep.
How long has the person been here?
Very long time. I mean, I don't.
It's Nancy, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Nancy Schmidt, the director.
Within the last 2 years, she became director.
Yeah. Last year. It was last year.
Programs for agents?
Interesting.
That's from 35 to 40 hours.
It's not CSCA,
but it's civil service. All of the probation officers are civil service.
Ms. Orchard.
That's
legislator Orchard.
I'm sorry, yes.
Right, just real quick.
Go ahead.
Just I've heard that a lot over the past year and over the past day or two. We're just going back to a number that it used to be. I don't, you know, I would love to know if there was a bad reason that they lowered it. That would be a great, then it becomes a good reason. They should have never lowered it. It was an appropriate salary. But just to say, we're raising it because at one point it was that, is not real good. I don't think it's real good.
Doesn't help us to understand.
It doesn't help me decide.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can get you that before Monday. I believe this is also some compression issues as well, which is why when lowering it down to 5,000, because they are all civil service and mostly through CSCA, I believe it's not just that we, you know, are trying to restore it, but I think there's some compression.
And just quick, in a position where there's the surrounding counties, I'm guessing, all have a senior probation officer, it would be great to have two or three counties north of us, the two or three counties south of us, and what they pay there, you know, and we'll obviously look to certain. I think Dutchess is always one because of the proximity and the size. They are south of us, so it should help most times if you're trying to justify a raise. But I think I would like five or six county comparisons on these, and that's a pretty easy thing to do. Raises for positions that are in all the counties.
Okay, Legislator Ross.
Thank you. Just very briefly, just to follow up on what Joe just said, he made a really good point about, you know, just because it's what it used to be doesn't necessarily mean it's what it should be again. And then that goes to something that I look at with some of these raises and positions in that, you know, there are cases here where somebody has accepted a position at a certain rate, and now we're moving it up because it used to be something else, even though the person in the position didn't used to make that amount of money. Which I also think that we should take into account, and it goes back to the assistant deputy county executive position, which we'll talk about again.
And there's one other one that's not on the list. It was a fact that the two legislators last night brought to my attention. The sheriff department's going to be hiring a deputy sheriff that's going to be traveling to Saugerties, if I'm not mistaken. And in that, they're going to get a car used from their home from Ellenville to...
It's the new director of the civil division. But that's a sheriff's decision.
I mean, the civil division position is vacant right now.
That was John McGovern?
Yeah.
Now, I guess they're going to be telling you from what some.
I mean, I would.
What is this about Sullivan?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
I would say it was Sullivan.
I would suppose he's getting nervous going to Philly.
It's in Ellenville.
Oh, okay. That's Sullivan. And two letters that have brought to my attention the concern about
the position.
Not the position, the travel from the using a sheriff's vehicle going from Ellenville to work and coming back to work.
I would address the sheriff with that.
Chair Bartels.
On that subject, Rich, you probably remember many years ago, I worked on what we eventually called the Charlie Busick policy, which had to do with use of county vehicles,
mm-hmm.
and it was supposed to apply to all vehicles, but there was quite a lot of pushback on it applying to sheriff's vehicles, and I recall repeatedly as we tried to run the metric on the value of allowing for commuting with patrol vehicles, and I'm not speaking to this sheriff because I've never discussed this with this current sheriff, but the response always was that even though we're off the clock, we could be on the clock between here and there because we could respond to an emergency, to which, and I'm a details person, to which I always said, can you provide backup to how many times you did actually respond to emergencies or, you know, put back on your on-duty cap while you were off-duty and clocked out, and nobody ever tracked that. And that's, again, the previous administration. So I don't know. I assume our, in terms of across the county fleet, I assume our county fleet manager is applying the metric, which is very specific, of a breakdown of the value of the take-home vehicle against the miles incurred on the commute, against what it would cost, first, et cetera, for our county fleet. But in terms of the sheriff's fleet, that's definitely a question for the sheriff, and something, and I think it's one worth having. I think it's one worth looking at and analyzing.
Just keep an eye on it in the future.
Yeah.
Well, more than analyzing.
I think there is an argument to be made at times about, I mean, when you really think about the logistics of 45-minute drive to work, getting a call, maybe a life-saving call, and that person not even, you know, having to drive to pick up the squad vehicle, and then maybe, I'm talking about an hour sometimes, I do think we should be able to work up that data, remember that conversation. With regards to the civil disposition, I don't know if this person would you could make the argument that he's going to be taking life-saving calls, whether or not he even needs a vehicle at all, I'd like to have a conversation about. I will say that position in particular I found to be one of the more underpaid positions in the county. I think comprehensive looks through the years has had that, and one or two other positions is probably the most grossly underpaid. Maybe that's how we justify giving them a vehicle at one point, but I think we ought to take a look at that position in a lot of different ways, maybe think about a fair raise, and have a conversation about it. So you're saying that person gets a vehicle then?
I
have an answer to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Legislator Ron, then Donaldson.
From what I understand, the previous head of civil did not take a take-home vehicle, that he would, he does do evictions, or that he did do evictions, and when he went out on an eviction, he would take a pool car. And it was my understanding, and again, it's hearsay because it's only been brought to me by other people and the position's not even filled yet, but, it's my understanding that folks have been told he's going to be getting a take-home vehicle. Whoever's coming in. The previous one did not. But again, that's a sheriff's decision. It's a question for the sheriff, and we probably shouldn't belabor it too much because it's not here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Legislator Donaldson, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, of course, the idea with the sheriff that you're not considering that was not brought up is the take-home vehicles are also the exposure, just the vehicle sitting there as a certain amount of impact. And that's one of the things that the sheriff was pointing out.
I don't think this guy's going to have a marked car.
He's not going to have a marked car, but I'm talking about the other ones.
I understand.
What was brought up was the entire policy.
Yeah, Tracy's question.
Yeah, the entire policy. So there is other things besides that, but still, having said that, we should be able to get some kind of a data that would actually back up the other.
Okay, I'm going to try and move us along a little here.
Pardon me?
35 to 40.
Okay. Legislator Maloney, your next.
No, I think Ken has four in a row.
If you would like to do yours, Legislator Maloney, I'm, yeah, I'd be more than happy to have you go first.
Sorry, I'm working off of two agendas here, so.
And you have the comptroller elect here, so
yeah.
Legislator Ronk's deal with the comptroller.
Ken and I's is very similar. I wouldn't even mind doing it back to back. So.
Okay, so why don't we do the director of AIC first, and then we'll do economic development second for
sure.
Both
we'll
of you.
Back.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so this amendment would make the director of internal audit and control commensurate with what our fiscal analysts are paid, and I think that that is a reasonable compromise to what the acting comptroller had requested in her budget. It flabbergasts me that the county executive actually cut this position in the budget. You know, it was a small cut, but a cut nonetheless. I think if you're looking to get a financial professional in this position, it should at least be commensurate with what other financial professionals are paid in this government, especially if we're going to give our new comptroller-elect the tools that she needs to, you know, to do her job effectively.
Any other comments?
My only point, and I know the comptroller is here to argue, I believe that this position actually oversees some other staff that. The county executive's office didn't, the budget director didn't cut, it was a vacant position. He just put it in for 70 hours.
Yeah.
Again, the request from the acting comptroller, our theory on this was that by the time this time right now came around, there would be a comptroller-elect that could come in and speak about the request. So I do know that the director of internal audit, though, does oversee some other staff members, which the legislative fiscal analysts may not. So I'll let her speak to that. But
do you want to speak to?
And I'm going to bring Evan with me because he has more experience in the office. First of all, I want to express a sincere appreciation to Legislator Ronk for bringing forward this amendment because it is really critical. It's been hard to fill this position. But to the point that this position oversees four other positions, I want to track backwards to yesterday, and I'm sorry I didn't have this information available yesterday when we were talking about the audit positions. I want to just note that those are positions that do charter mandated activities, the four audit positions. They are tested positions. They are CSEA positions. And yesterday we were presented, as I stood here, at the moment I stood at the podium, with a list of standard hours for other departments. I've since identified that there are departments on that list that have employees at 40 hours. So if you dig down inside departments, you find somewhat of a difference. And I also have researched now the theory behind going to 40 hours, and it really was about a money savings, taxpayer dollar savings effort to not grow the staff of this office by another position. And I have also been able to identify that we have had growth and responsibilities in the number of contracts that we cover, the number of wires that we're checking, employee reimbursements, invoices. Invoices alone from 2017 to 2018 grew by several thousand. So I want to just note that the work and responsibility on those four people has grown, and that also speaks back to this position. I'm going to turn it over to Evan to talk about what it has been like to try to fill that position at the salary that's there. So I greatly appreciate the effort. I think we need to go a little bit further, but I really appreciate it. Evan, if you could say a few words.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to echo the comptroller-elect's appreciation for Legislator Ronk's amendment, but just based on my experience over the last 4+ years is my worry that this doesn't go far enough to cure a couple issues that we have. First being recruitment and hiring. I've been lucky enough to be part of two hiring cycles now, and the issue comes down to salary. And when we get lucky enough to even get someone to approach us for an interview, the immediate question, if they haven't seen it already, is, well, what's the salary? The immediate response is laughter thereafter. And when I go back, you know, what do you see? They go, well, you see it on my resume that I've worked for Goldman for the last 4 years. This does absolutely nothing for me. So every dollar in a positive direction is a plus for us in this regard. Second being retention and compression. If this amendment were to pass at the 70,000, this still allows this individual as a manager to come in $6,000 to $8,000 below the two senior auditors and just a few hundred dollars above our other auditor. So there will still be a star compression issue, and what that essentially foments is some ill will the longer the individual stays in the position, that they are overseeing 2 to 4 individuals at that point who may be on par or even above that manager salary. So that is my experience over the last few years, and again, while we appreciate every dollar that's our way, it's just my fear that this doesn't go far enough in actually addressing these two substantial issues.
Legislative run.
Yeah, sure. I want to correct the record on something that was said in that, I guess not correct the record, but let the record reflect that Amber actually is a deputy clerk and oversees Natalie. So one of these two positions that we're speaking about is actually managing employees as well. I will say that we were able to hire two highly qualified, obviously highly qualified individuals at this salary. One thing when you're working for government, especially in the accounting field, people who are going to take the position are often not drawn in by a higher salary than they get in the private sector, but a better work-life balance, a better benefit package, things of that nature. Also, getting to live in the beauty that is Ulster County. I hear a lot of focus being put on the fact that the Director of Internal Audit and Control then manages all the employees, then what does the Deputy Comptroller and Comptroller do? Because I feel like that's a shared responsibility among those three. If that's, this isn't the only person overseeing the auditor and the senior auditor.
Absolutely not. It's just that is a targeted position of just immediately coming in below those that they supervise, which...
I understand that point of view, but one of the reasons that they're coming in below the employees that are there is because the employees that are there have been there for quite some time and have been, recipients of several, salary increases with contracts and whatnot. They also have to test into the positions, whereas this person is going to be a management confidential employee who gets hired because the comptroller wants to hire them, not because they're on a list. I understand the concern about the compression issues, and perhaps that's something that we could address next year after we have a year of the new comptroller in office. But I just think that, this legislature has been able to hire extremely competent and really qualified individuals, financial professionals at this salary, including a CPA.
Legislator Donaldson?
Yes. Well, we as a body, we sent in the acting comptroller. We elected that person to serve there. And now, I did not vote for that person. As everybody knows, I was vehemently against him because I felt we could have brought outside eyes into that office. Having said that, the acting comptroller, who actually came from the executive branch and was appointed by this legislative branch to go into there and finish up the job till the end of the year, of which he did. And she went in and looked at what was needed, and she's coming from the executive side. And she came in, looked what was needed, and she put a budget out that she felt would be the right type of thing to be able to be the independent eyes of this county. And my mindset is, if she did that, I kind of want to go along with that. I want to go along with that because she sees it from both sides. And I respect that.
So you're wrong,
Ben? No, I'm not wrong. I'm still right. But I think we needed the independent eyes. But, once she's there, she did the job. I never thought that she wouldn't be able to do the job. I just felt that there was conflicts there. But she came in and she did the job. And she made the decision on her budget, a budget that she's not going to be there for. She's not going to be using that. but she indicated what was needed in order for that office to work properly. And I think we should honor that.
Great, thank you. Any other questions? Okay, we can, thank you very much.
Thanks, Emma.
We could move on to economic development. And Joe, you have one as well as Ken.
You want to do mine first?
That's perfectly
all good. Right. This stems from a conversation I had with the county executive, and then maybe the county executive staff who's here can enlighten me if anything has changed since then. So this is an extra $125,000 that was placed in the professional services, other fees for professional services line, in the newly created Department of Economic Development. I asked if there was a plan. I know there's a pattern here. I asked if there was a plan for use of this $125,000, and I was told no. And as with some of the other monies that Richard has suggested that we put into contingency until there's a plan for use, you know, because if it's spent in denominations under $50,000, you know, the legislature's never going to have any ability to have oversight over the use of this money, and that's a lot of money. So I respectfully request that this legislature put into contingency until such time as we're provided with a detailed plan on how it's going to be utilized.
So I'm going to start by just saying that to say that there is no plan, I mean, I get that maybe we didn't present you with a line-by-line plan. This $125,000, which is separate and apart from the $150,000 that was slated to be USITA, this is meant for business retention and expansion, and I'm going to turn it over to the director and let her continue on as far as highlighting that.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Legislator Ong. To answer your question, we do have a plan, and that is to utilize this money for business expansion and retention purposes. I don't want to get too far detailed into the work that we're looking at, but what I can do is give you a high-level overview of the types of work that we're talking about and the kind of things that we're looking at accomplishing with this money. One of them would be to update a system called Salesforce that we have, that we would be buying some data on companies, and we need to actually hire someone to get the data in there correctly and to correct the data that's in there, and then to train the staff on the most effective use of that tool for economic development reasons. It's a powerful tool, and it hasn't been used to its full extent, and we know that it will be critical for us in moving forward in hitting KPIs, as well as making sure that we outreach and keep in touch with the businesses that we currently have and that we're hoping will expand. So that's one of the things. We're also looking at other efforts that might include a program that would work with businesses that were expanding living wage jobs here. The business would have to have been in business for the last 12 months. And we are also looking at developing programs that would take a look at a segment of our society, at our economy that we know is already there, and we would put into place some programs that would support that. And that's the maker economy that we have, and that would be every economy from, like, people making these wood products to people making high-end food. So I do have more information or whatever, but that's the high level.
All right. I mean, just to go back to what Mr. Ryder said, and then I'll comment a little bit on what you just said. To say that, you know, well, we told you we had a plan, but we didn't. My conversation with the county executive was, do you have a plan for this? And he said, no, I do not. You guys just created this department. You know, so that was my conversation with the executive. You'll understand why I would understand that means that that there was no plan when the budget was put together, because when asked if he had a plan, he told me no. I don't believe I misunderstood anything when he said that to me.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. I just want to interrupt for 1 second. I don't think he did.
Well, that's not what Mark just said before.
What I want to say is that what we want to be careful of is not, I think that probably the Ulster 2040 process is a large part of
yep.
what we're looking into. So specific plans being developed is not, it would predetermine an outcome while people are working.
All right, well, what I would say is, you know, they sounded like a lot of really great ideas that that Lisa has given to us, the Economic Development Director. I don't think that any of those things wouldn't happen if this money were in contingency and then were individually released from contingency, you know, through resolution by the legislature. It's kind of like, oh, I don't want to give too many details, or I don't want to get into too deep of detail. is like a horrifying thing for me to hear when we're talking about budgeting $125,000. I think that when we're budgeting that kind of money, we would want more detail than less on what it's going to be spent on.
Okay, Legislator Donaldson.
I think some people seem to have forgotten that we created an economic development department, and with that, I was one of the co-sponsors of it, something that we've been attempting to do for quite some time. Now, having said that, I requested, because the county executive requested from me, if we could try to postpone that till January. To me, that was the most common sense postponement that you could have asked.
Can we talk about budget?
What am I talking about?
I said, can we talk about budget? Where, you know,
I am talking about budget. The purpose is, you got it in the background, coming from somebody that went off on state regulations.
That was about budgeting, Dave.
Yeah, right. Anyway, the point was, we made that department, and the idea of making that department, he requested it be put off till January so he could actually form a plan so he can put that in the budget, and that would have made sense. But instead, it was, no, we can't put that off until January. Couldn't figure out why, other than political reasons, I guess. I don't know. But having said that, I mean, I'm not necessarily comfortable with, you know, the money just being sent out. But on the other hand, like I said, we did create this department. And there are some plans coming forth, and you need the money to have it. I mean, I would suggest, rather than just closing it down, maybe offer half if you want to do something of that nature, and put the other half in contingency and then come back and get it. Whatever you want to do that. But
I have a response to
that. I think we need to work with the executive on this if we can. We created a department. We created that department with good faith that they were going to do something that was going to work. And that's what they're attempting to do.
We've
got
just
Geraldine Ronk and then.
But I can't respond to that like Missy responded to Matt earlier.
Go
that,
right ahead.
Thank you.
Can you get me in there at 1 point?
Yes.
You know, Dave, we're not just nixing the whole thing or however you said it. You know, it's not like we're vaporizing this money or putting it back in the fund balance. We're putting it into contingency. We're doing something that you many times have come to these meetings and other meetings and said we should do more of. When you said I was the leader of the water carrying department, we're exercising our authority to have oversight. That's what we're doing. All we're doing is saying come to us with a plan and we'll release all of the money, or we'll release it in several amounts. You know, and it's something that many legislators used to criticize me for, that are now not criticizing me so much as going completely the opposite direction and saying, well, what, we don't really need oversight, we can just give them the money, or just give them half of the money. You know, I see no negative. Nobody can show me a negative with putting this money into contingency until we see a plan that meets with our satisfaction as a legislature. It's something that we should be doing with our oversight authority as a legislative body. If not, then why are we here? Why are we here, you know, for 4 hours talking about a budget?
Okay.
We have nothing else better to do.
I guess.
Here, but anyway, Mark and John, Lisa, you know, you guys do a good job. Lisa, good luck in the future. I mean, we're talking about the same thing over and over again. Come with a plan that we can basically be comfortable with, Yeah, once you have the plan in place, money's a contingency, come back and just take it out. It's that simple. No one's denying you any of this money, but there again, we have to feel comfortable in our decisions, and we have control of the first three. So that's why we're asking to put this money in contingency, so that we know what's going to be in there and what's going to happen.
Legislator Malone. Oh, I'm sorry. Mark, let me just get Mark to respond and then you, or do you want to follow up?
Go ahead, Joe. But just to be clear, too, just from my impression on why we did this, and I was one of the votes, why we created this department, and then I picked up the paper and found out we did create the department, but now we have created it again, so that's nice. We created it for oversight. What we're talking about right now is oversight, transparency, the ability to check how these funds are being spent. The reason was twofold. We were very unhappy with the performance of the economic development over the years. The only difference between what we did with that piece of legislation recently was giving us appointment approval power. Mm-hmm. That's what it was all about. It was all about transparency and creating another avenue for the legislature to check what economic development, where they were going, and how they were spending tax dollars. So the fact that we're talking about putting this into contingency goes right along with the reason we created this department. So I do think there was a lot of politics involved, but I don't think there was much politics involved on the creation of this department. It really was out of the idea of checking and making the process better and involving us in some oversight. And so I think it goes right at what Ken and I are kind of trying to do here, is just create a quick level of oversight and giving us the power to say, wait a minute, because that's what we've been saying. I've had these conversations with a lot of legislators. We all have, wait a minute, how are we spending this money in economic development?
Mark?
Again, I think we've given a high-level view. If we were to take these two amendments, and if both of them were to pass, then the county executive puts forth $275,000 in his budget. Legislature takes all of that money, not a portion of it, but all of that money, and moves it in contingency, which means it cannot be touched essentially till February or March, because we don't put in resolutions in January because it's the organizational meeting. So we're talking about a quarter of the year that we have money that's untouchable because we have not detailed a plan to the level that is just not asked in typical appropriations.
You know, I think that's part of the problem we have by putting all of this money in contingency. Not only that, there's a significant difference, and I'm not against it at this point, but I'm not necessarily for it either. There's a big difference in the idea of having cash in hand, being able to carry out something, than we have cash, we got to wait till March. If we created this department, we need to fund the department. And you have to have some faith that the executive is going to do that properly. If he doesn't do it properly, next year his feet will be held to the fire. And in fact, I'm pretty sure his feet's going to be held to the fire all during next year, all during the year. And as I instructed, I said to him after he was elected, you can count on me holding your feet to the fire whenever I feel I need to. And he knows that. And I think he knows that most legislators will do that. Particularly now, since the legislature has seemed to have stepped into its position in a better way, instead of carrying water all the time. So as a result, I really think that, you know, we've got to fund it, and to take all of it out is absurd.
Okay, well, we're going, we're saying some of the same things. If anybody has something different to add, okay.
I have something different.
Very quick, very short. I'll make it very short.
Okay.
Mark and your staff, have it done by Monday. We'll fund it. No problem. There you go.
Legislator Malone.
I think it was somewhat telling because Mr. Ryder touched upon my piece of legislation. That we're talking about it now. We'll talk about it a little less in a minute. The $150,000 you just said is $275,000 that we're essentially saying the executive no longer, in theory,
USEA is not the county government, even though alarmingly it is. The executive appoints all county appointees for the most part, and so you end up with something that has made us all very uncomfortable up here in the legislature, most of us, I should say, very uncomfortable up in the legislature over the past couple of years. The $150,000, I want to put it to constituents.
Hold on. This executive has not been here the last time.
I'm talking about the executive branch of government. And, okay, I'll say four executive, and I'd like you to raise your hand and get recognized the next time you want to speak up. Okay, I'm sorry.
Something in the middle of the sentence there. That is a significant issue. This county executive has been here for 6 months now.
I think that's a point that we all. I think that's a point we all need to remember a little more often as well. Thank you for pointing it out. But does the new county executive, John, if you want to interrupt and talk about that, does he plan on appointing all county appointees to USEA?
Okay.
Is that what he's done so far?
All right. Enough. Please, everyone.
It's $150,000 that goes to USEA. Are we out of contract with USEA right now?
We don't have a contract for professional services with USEA right now.
Okay. Well, another reason to put it into contingency.
So yes, we've discussed these two. Can we wrap this up or
whatever?
Because we do have someone here from Awareness to speak about there, and I'd like to get them up in front of us. Is everybody comfortable? They've had their say on these two items, or is there
as much as allowed?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
As much as we've been permitted to
would
talk,
you like
they're,
more?
They're not interrupted.
Would you like more time?
I was in the middle of making a point when I was interrupted and was not, and there was no correction from the chair.
Well, I apologize. I was distracted, just trying to get the next one in order. Would you like to finish this?
And with all due respect, I mean, the point we're making was the new county executive, because I misspoke and just said county executive and didn't put former in there, that you lost your mind for a second there, was inappropriate. And the fact that the new county executive is appointing all appointees to USEA, the point stands that I was making.
It's been appropriate from the beginning.
Okay.
We do need oversight on that, Mike.
Mark?
I do want to just point out that the $150,000 goes into economic development's budget to be moved by a contract through the legislature. It will get voted on through the legislature, but it is $150,000 in economic development's budget. It is, yes, earmarked for USEDA, and that decision will be made by both the county executive's office and the legislature, and then you're right, Legislator Maloney, once moved to USEDA, it will be the USEDA board that votes on that money. I was not implying that was $150,000 that either of, you know, prior county executive, current county executive is using that money. It is USEDA money at that point.
But what you did say, and I think it's accurate, that the county executive looks at USEDA as his, and it more or less is the way we have it set up. And I think people are very uncomfortable with it. A lot of the things that we use USEDA for, we could use the IDA for. The IS building is still sitting out there, not sold. Flatbush Avenue, I'm not sure we got as much as we should have gotten out of that, and a lot of their marketing efforts I find to be failures over the years. Bus trips and other things that don't make a lot of sense. I stand by wanting that in contingency.
Okay. And first, Legislator Waltman, he'd like a chance to speak, and then Donaldson, please.
Yeah, if I may, Mark, do you anticipate that these contracts will all be in excess of $50,000? That way that we would have to come to the legislature for a vote of approval? No.
I can't anticipate that they all are. Some of them are going to be studies. It's going to, again, some of it is there's two things with Ulster 2040. Some of it's the working group, and then it's the 2040 process, which will help determine. Some of this money is slated for studies and other things that are helped, like the sectors that are developed by Ulster 2040. We will use some of this money towards those sectors.
I could just elaborate on my point just quickly. Since we have created this department, I really think it's important that they hit the ground running without delays. And I think as much as that, even if a compromise such as Legislator Donaldson proposed, where some of the money could be put in contingency and maybe a figure put in the operating budget so they can have some access to it in the first 2 months, two or 3 months of the year, I think a compromise like that
might be a suitable arrangement, but I think it's really vital that they have the ability to do the outreach that they want to do and are able to hit the ground.
I think
right.
It's mixing the issue.
Well, except that that's how it's driving here. Okay, Legislator Donaldson.
As I was pointing out, you see the money is putting that in contingency is really, I don't know, it makes no sense. It just creates another step when, in fact, when they do the budget, when they do the contract, it comes before this body. This body has to okay that contract, and we can make that contract apart. We can do whatever we want. We can say no. Why would that go into a contingency? And then, in other words, so basically, it goes out for the contract. They say, well, you don't have our contract. We don't need any money there. Well, it's a contingency. You're just creating the problem. You're just actually purposely throwing a block that doesn't need to be there.
Legislator Ross.
Just going back to the $125,000 and the Ultra 2040 and a lot of the things that Lisa Berger brought up, I one of the things I find fault with in this whole process is, I was asked by the county executive, do you have any concerns? What are your thoughts on the budget? And I went and I said, I've got a concern about this $125,000. And he said, well, what if I'm able to bring you a plan before the budget time? And I said, well, yeah, let's talk about it. And since then, I've heard absolutely crickets, about this issue from the county executive and the county executive's office. And then we come to the budget meeting, and then we pretend that there's this whole big plan, and it's been the plan the whole time. And then it wasn't the plan the whole time, it's a plan now, but again, it's just, there seems to be a communication issue, and given that the county executive's office has restructured itself to have a large communication staff, I have real concern about the lack of communication.
So, Lisa?
Yeah, I just want to say one last thing, and that is with 3.5% unemployment, the problem that we're having right now is expansion issues for our local businesses, and it's always been the intent since I came in that I would focus those first few months on the first beginning of the year on expansion and retention for the existing businesses that we have now, and we will need money in order to get that work done.
Just kind of respond to that for 30 seconds.
I look forward to, and I'm sure that all of our returning colleagues and new colleagues look forward to working with you on that as part of the Economic Development Committee and the legislative process, even if that means we have to do a resolution to move something out of contingency. I want to reiterate, because there's been a lot of times today where moving things into contingency seems to be like it's being eliminated altogether. We've been getting some emails today that seem to have been drafted, by people who are more in the know on, what these amendments are than the general public. Seem to happen ahead of time, which kind of troubled me. But, I want to reiterate that putting it into contingency doesn't mean it goes away. It just means that the legislature has a little bit more oversight over the funds, which, again, I can sell to my constituents. I hope that the county executive's office can sell it to theirs, but it's a bad thing.
Legislator Nolan, then Maloney, and then we're going to close this topic.
Yeah. I think that it is an impediment. It's a bureaucratic impediment. It's a time impediment to put something into contingency. And if it's our policy and our decision to create a department, then we don't fund it. When we have high-level plans,
not funding it is that's a
yeah. So we differ on this. I just didn't like hearing that position many, 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 many times, and having Legislator Donaldson, say something like what I'm stating all by himself. So I'm just saying that it is a perspective on how tight you want to be, and we set up to make this department.
To say that you're not funding it is a lie. It's being funded at the exact level that it was funded under the previous executive.
So let me withdraw. Let me say that
I'd
like to have a point of order.
Point of order.
She was talking. He's butting in. We need to keep some quorum here.
That's fine.
At this point, we need to have
It's getting late in the day, and I get it. We've had a lot of things before us that we're having conversation about, and sometimes heated. So if we can just close this one out, everybody has said their piece. We've said the same things. Do you have anything new to add?
Can I just say a phrase, which is funding delayed is funding denied. It's not exactly true, but it has that implication in the case of these businesses.
Your point taken. Legislative.
Just want to point out quickly, there's $400,000 there in UCEDA that they do have a lot of discretionary ability to use that they refuse to. We're talking about 150, so there's absolutely no red tape.
That can't go there until it passes through resolution. So.
Yeah, exactly. And if it does, there's $400,000 they can use whenever they want. Even as they ask, they can replenish it if it takes a day or two to get the money from contingency as well. Just a point.
Okay. May we move on to awareness?
Sure.
Marie, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yes, please. Come up here and tell us about your program and your request.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for having me. My heart goes out to all the hours that you all spend on all of these tasks, because I don't think I would have the patience. Therefore, I work with youth. So awareness has been around since 2006. We started out as a mentoring program with 15 high school students mentoring 30 middle school students, and then we expanded in 2007 to help kids that would get ticketed in court and serviced about 50 kids a year, and then we went up to 100. And at this point in time, up through the end of October, we have had contact with 1,613 kids, because we expanded to not only having a weekly program, that is an 8-week program, but now we have after school programs in 2 schools. I think the uniqueness and awareness comes that I see a lot of our expansion comes from the youth themselves. For instance, we've been in the New Paltz School now for about 6 years, started out doing 2 days every semester in the health classes with youth speakers, and now we've had an after-school program. And unbeknownst to me, one of the girls that heard our speakers, I still haven't met her, she went home and told her mother, and her mother happened to be in a neighboring high school and was in charge of behavior intervention for K through 12. She said, "Mom, you have to have these kids come." So that school would be the third one. We've been in Ellenville and in New Paltz. So the school approached me, but I told them we really just don't have the resources. As it is, we go in the other schools 4 days to each semester, and these speakers that are the young speakers come and voluntarily give up 2 days to speak. So actually, a year later, she ended up this year coming up with some funding to pay us, so we were able to have the kids go and able to give them stipends. And we not only did, instead of just doing the health classes, we did their entire high school, which was 592 people in a 2-day time frame. Also, another expansion that we haven't done and that we did this past year was in New Paltz. We had the high school kids go into the middle school, and we went in during their lunch periods and just really asked the kids, what do they need for support? So at the end of that program, the kids that were in eighth grade on the very first day, 2 of them showed up for our meeting for the high school, and I was kind of surprised. When we went to go to Highland, New Paltz lets the kids go to speak if their teachers allow. And this one little girl who just turned 14 in ninth grade said, "I want to go." And I said, "Well, nobody else seems to be able to go." I said, "You don't want to go by yourself?" And she's like, "Yes, I do." So another student, 11th grader, said, "I'll go with her." And I thought she would just learn from, you know, watching the older kids, and she had a lot of time since she's only in ninth grade. And when she spoke, I was shocked to find out that when she had come to the program in middle school, she had been using drugs and alcohol from an early age, but nobody ever caught her. So she went into a deep depression, and they were bringing her to a partial program, and she was told when she got there, if she tested positive, she was going to have to stay longer. So she got her friend's urine and snuck it in and tested negative, but it was that clicked a turning point in her to see that she wanted to get sober and get healthy. So she stayed in the partial program for a period of time, and when she came to school, she met one of her friends that brought her to our program, and she said, "I fell in love with it immediately." So that right there for me, that girl is like, every week she's texting me in the morning, "Are we meeting today?" She's so on a mission, and she's not afraid to share her story, which helps the other kids that are struggling. So I think that's about everything in a nutshell. If there's any specific questions that you have, I don't want to take up too much time. I know you guys are having a long day here.
Any questions for Marie? Legislator Nolan?
I don't have questions, but I think how to support what you do that is good through the county. The materials that you sent in, I just was handed a printout of a letter that was dated November 18th. It's a four-page letter, and it misconstrues many of the comments that I made at the public health meeting in October. We've had a public health meeting in November. This material wasn't brought to us there. I helped to write the contract that was supposed to be governing awareness work with funded through the county this year. And at that meeting, I was told that the contract didn't come to awareness until July. I subsequently found out that the contract was available in March or April and just wasn't signed by awareness until July. That contract included quarterly reporting to the Public Health Committee because last year at this time, I said, I don't want to be in a situation again at budget time in which I get a report of all that you've been doing, but no one knows about it during the year. And the example that you tell is of a child you help. And I think that it's great for you to be doing that. That particular example, I think, falls outside of what we're funding you to do and is of concern to us that you would conflate with what we are funding you to do, because I don't believe you have certification to be having those kind of interactions. I've always operated on the fringes of what I'm allowed to do. So I'm not saying I think you shouldn't be doing that, but it's problematic to use public monies for your program to be doing things that we know you're not certified to do. And so I will try to digest this. I don't know what process we have. I certainly would not be in a position to bring forward an amendment to support funding again under what has happened since last year. I have also concerns that this program only serves students in Ellenville and New Paltz, and that if we use a comparable amount of money and put out a request for quotes, we might get the ability to give smaller amounts of money to multiple programs around the county that we do the alcohol counseling that requires less certification for more students. So I feel like since you've been coming to the county since 2014, that's a lot of years of coming and getting the funding without some of these issues being worked out. And it's not always been at $10,000 or $12,000. Sometimes more and sometimes less, I guess. I have a great deal of difficulty with not having at least request for quotes on anything above $10,000. And I don't know how to have a different kind of interaction. We provided a contract, and there were difficulties getting the contract signed and back, and now you are coming for the next installment, as though you think it's kind of there waiting for you. I don't think that Ulster County was set up to do this.
When you're ready, I would be happy to. I'm trying to make a list because I'm going to forget all of the things that you're asking. Yes.
Why don't we respond first?
Sorry.
That's okay. We want to give you an opportunity to respond before we ask you more questions.
So first of all, I'm just wondering what I heard you say was something wasn't true about what you said at the meeting and what we put in the letter. Is there something specific you could refer to?
Well, I've only just scanned the letter, so there may be more than one thing. But you said that we directed you to look for funding outside the county.
That was brought up.
You interpreted that to mean outside of Ulster County. What
I said and intended was that other than Ulster County as a funding source, there are many foundations that fund this kind of endeavor that are nonprofits. So this was just a request that you look to nonprofit funding.
We do.
Nothing to do with the, you know, geographic boundaries.
Oh, well, that's what we heard.
So it was a miscommunication.
Okay. We do get some funding from nonprofits and like a Hudson Valley Youth Program, which actually came through a high school student that was able to get funding, and she has been doing that for her and her sister for 4 years, who I didn't even know, just because they knew of the program in OTR High School and thought it was amazing.
Legislator Ron. Oh, go ahead.
Did you want me to address any more of hers?
Oh, I didn't know how many had.
Well,
okay.
Secondly, it's a peer-to-peer program, so what I was just sharing was this girl fell in love with the idea of being able to be with her peers. So we aren't doing anything that anyone needs licensing for, but I am an OASIS approved alcohol awareness program, and the program that we use that is 8 weeks approved by them is the same program we use in every other venue that we have. And I believe the first time we met, you thought I was getting the money. I don't get any money till the end of this year, and I have to give in all of my receipts and prove what I spent it on before I get a cent. So I still have not gotten any money from 2019.
Okay, Legislator Ronk, Maloney, and then Donaldson. No, theirs were up before.
No, you can go ahead.
Go ahead. All right, go ahead, David.
I know you want to make something clear that the legislator Nolan said we. It's not we, it's our. Okay? So just make that clear when you do that.
Thank you.
No more we're not friends. Anyway, what I would like to do is my concern with how we've been dealing with this particular program is the amount of paperwork and such can be detrimental to actually getting what you have to get done. And I've seen that in a number of county programs. People attempt to do something like that, and they need to make those much more user-friendly. In that, it doesn't mean you want to be just keep throwing money away, but I mean, I've seen that, for instance, the youth court has disappeared. And it's disappearing mainly because it was such an impediment to actually put in the paperwork. It wasn't worth it. They hired, like, teachers that were involved in government and things like that. And it took them, the teacher explained to me they weren't going to do it anymore. They said what they got paid and the amount of work, the paperwork that they had to do, was absurd. They said, I'm not going to be doing this. I'm not going to be spending 15 hours on paperwork for what I'm doing. It's worse than my planning at school. So as a result, what has happened in the youth court, it's gone away. And it was a very valuable thing. And the same thing seems to be happening to you, but even twofold or threefold or fourfold, because I've seen some of that. And it seems like you can never get the money. You do the job, and it's almost impossible to get the bucks.
I totally can relate to that, and I don't get a salary on top of it. However, my son, who I started this when he was in fifth grade, just got accepted to Einstein Med School for 8 years, full ride. He gets paid to go, and he'll be an infectious disease MD with a PhD, and he put on his application, he's only one of 15 that got accepted into this program, that this was one of the biggest impacts in his life, so I finally had to say, okay, I'll take it. But, yeah, I do it as a labor of love just because of the kids. I mean, I think of the kids, like, what if I stopped this little ninth grader who's a little powerhouse? And we have a group of 20 volunteers in that school. She just happens to be the youngest. So, but thank you for that.
Do we have any?
I know how effective these kind of peer-to-peer programs can be. I actually ran one quite a long time ago. I mean, it was, about 30 years ago, actually. I ran it through the Youth Bureau before I was involved in the county. And it was peer-to-peer. It was basically creating leadership skills amongst them, and those things work.
Great.
Thank you. If I,
okay.
I was just going to say, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking
right.
me. Go ahead.
I'm
sorry.
I'm just trying to get their questions while
yes.
you're here because we've got to move on.
Go ahead.
So total that you're getting, $12.5
yeah.
from the county, mm-hmm. and that is already in the budget. This was just kind of a presentation that we asked for. It's in the budget. This is.
It's in the budget, but we never heard
yeah,
the Ways
no,
and Means
yeah,
hasn't
and
heard what
and
the program
before you get the money, you get the money all at the end of the year.
Right.
So you don't get it up front.
No.
Yeah, and then you you give us an itemized thing. I'll tell you what. I've gone after $100,000 county officials over multi-million-dollar budgets and been told to back off, and I wasn't even going that hard. So I appreciate your questions, and for $12,000, none of which is going in the pocket, I think you handled it well, and I appreciate what you've done here.
Thank you.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
So just points of clarification, and to emphasize that there's not full communication, and therefore it's hard for us.
May I just ask if there are follow-up questions to what needs to be
yes.
provided?
Yes.
Would you share that with her so we can move on? I just
I'd like to if you could give me just a couple of minutes, because I think with this communication issue being an issue, just having a one-to-one, I asked for a lot of communication a year ago. So the contract that was written, I just looked at it again recently, provides that the organization could request up to $4,000 before they submit any paperwork, and is exempt from that. Apparently, the organization is unaware of that. It's in the contract. We, that I'm using when I say we for Ulster County, is we funding. I personally do not fund anything. And I'm only one of 23 votes, and so, but when you get money, it is from Ulster County, and then we, Ulster County, have a oversight function that we need to uphold. The paperwork that is complained of in this four-page letter is not excessive. It is a quarterly report and a request for receipts, because this program provides much of the expense line is pizza and various kinds of supplies, we'll call them. It's not the kind of thing that we can just assume that that's what it went for. So there are some, you know, it's not onerous, it's not a huge bookkeeping burden, or shouldn't be.
We really need to move on.
So
I have asked you to please stop. Please, I'm sorry, Marie, we're at the end of the day.
I think that
if there are questions or concerns that...
I'll be happy to address them through email.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. Okay, next. And we really are... I'm sorry? Can we stop the... Please.
No,
I know everybody's tired.
Can I clear something up?
No, we're done.
Right?
We're
no,
done.
I just want to point out about the reporting of...
You made your point, Dave.
No, this is a different point. They did not report to legislative programs because they always reported to the Health Committee. It's been a confusion. And
so we hope to clarify it for next year. That's a point well taken. So we're moving on. The next is Legislator Maloney. I'm not going to call on people for questions if we're going to continue this. We really need to stay focused. That's everybody, Kathy. Everybody. Thank you all. Okay, so Legislator Maloney, your clerk
just,
of the legislature.
I had put something up, and I hope the legislature remembers that we're the legislature. And I think we've really begun over the last year to start realizing what a skeleton crew we had outside of the post-charter, and it's time to have a real staffed office. So I put up for an administrative staff. I'm open for conversations, whether it's some kind of a financial staff. There's a lot of interesting conversations happening about different things we could do through the legislature that have been done through other
offices or departments, and I think at that point with those conversations you can lead into maybe another a junior or analyst or something. But for now I put it in as just a, you know, another secretarial administrative office person that I think is much needed. And I think any legislator that spends any time putting in legislation or up here at the county building sees that you know, the amount of work these people do, and the hours are pretty rough with most of our meetings happening at night.
Okay, Legislator Jarantino.
Yeah, last year we talked about this. We added one financial person to that office, which turned out to be Natalie. Oh, yeah, well, turned out after it. Natalie or Amber was gone for a few months. You took over, did a great job.
Thank you.
But there again, you know, yes, that office can use another professional person. We mentioned that last year to have two.
Mm-hmm.
We would see how one would work and then go there from that point 6 months into the year. Yeah, this is going to be you know, a legislative body that is going to do a lot more financial stuff, and it's becoming more and more of that. And we have two great people there. If we can get a third person to do that, it would be great. I don't think you need a quote confidential or a secretary or administrative person. I think you need more of an accounting type person to do it better.
Chair Bartels.
So Rich, you're proposing a financial person and you're proposing an administrative person?
The proposal in front of us is for an administrative person, but you know, we do have
not a lot of time.
But we could have that quick discussion. I opened it up with the here, but I would prefer to go the way Rich was talking about. But I think Vicki needs to be part of that conversation, and Amber for sure.
Has Vicki been a part of that conversation?
I've had brief conversations with her about it, and obviously she was supportive. I wouldn't have put something like this up without talking to her. Whether or not, and the brief conversations I had kind of bounced back and forth between what those options would be, and that we would further discuss it with the, more or less most of the people in the body. And I will say that, you know, we talk a lot about as these positions come up or as these new ideas come up, sometimes it's two and three positions, obviously not in the legislature very often, but we say, well, wouldn't it be better if we saw how it worked? It never turns out that's the way they usually get everything. But I think in this way we brought in Natalie, and I think everybody, I mean, to a person, without just BSing, felt really satisfied.
We're lucky to have the team we have.
And it's really working. So
really
in that way, we talked about two, we went with one. I think it was a success. I think the tax dollars that were spent were well justified. I think we could tangibly have some real conversations about how much better the office is working, and you know what, people do take time off as well, and to only have one budget analyst would have been, imagine not having Amber without Natalie.
Yeah.
So I'm all about babies too.
Yeah.
Legislator Ron.
Thank you. You know, just to piggyback on what Joe said and some of the things that Richard said, and you know, I think that we have options here. You know, we've got a new body coming in with new members in January. I definitely think that the way to go is a financial person. You know, I think that Amber and Natalie have worked as an amazing team. I think if we bring somebody else in, we have the potential, maybe not next year, but the year after, in not needing to spend, you know, $50,000-$60,000 on a budget consultant, because we have people, I think, who are more qualified to analyze the budget for us in-house. I think that that is one savings that could come from having somebody else in that position. But I also think that, you know, it one potential outcome here would be for us to fund the position for half the year and have a conversation longer than a couple of weeks on what we want to do. So we could fund the position starting in June, and that would give the new legislature, the new chair, whomever that may be, and Vicki time to, you know, and Ways and Means and all the legislators time to figure out exactly what we want rather than trying to shoehorn something in at the last minute.
Legislator Donaldson?
Well, I guess we should be putting the whole thing in contingency. it certainly makes sense to me, because this way the new legislature can come forward and the new legislature can turn around and say
I mean, that's almost what you're doing when you started the half-year point, but that's But that's fine. I'd be happy to give them half the money and just put it back in fund balance before
you start.
You don't know.
Watch our line.
No, you put it in a contingency because you don't know what the new leadership may decide that they're going to be doing with this. And I think it should be a joint thing with the new leadership and from both sides of the aisle to sit down and make that decision. But just throwing it in there now, I mean, it's much better if it was in a contingency account. We have the power to take it out. We have all the power when it comes to that.
Legislator Jaron team, Kim, come on. We've got to focus. Let's please.
515,
one conversation, please.
At 5:15, I'd love to be here all night, but you know, there again, Dave, I have no problem putting in contingency because this is not going to start until at least March or April. Vicki is not going to be able to have a financial person, you know, in here by January 1st. Let's be real. Okay, so, I mean, yeah, you're going to have time to do it. If you do it March 1st or you do it June 1st, whatever it is, you want to put in contingency? By all means, put in contingency. Just to appease you. All right?
Okay.
So let's just move forward. It's done.
Thank you.
Contingency done.
Legislator Brock.
He wants to be a smart ass.
But okay, please. Watch my
question.
All right, enough. Please.
Yeah, but enough, please. I want to explain something. I'm not trying to be a smart ass. It's reality. It's, that's what you should be doing.
Chair Bartel.
It makes sense.
Well, I think where Ken is calling you a name, yeah, exactly, is that it's already in contingency. So we have to create a position and maybe put that funding in contingency, but without creating a position, the concept of putting it in contingency is doing nothing.
Okay, we're moving on. We'll work out the financial semantics as we go forward. Let's go to your personnel amendment, please.
We've belabored this point, but like we're back at it again. This is, I'm guessing, because we've been bouncing all over the place, that this is
your
the
personnel, yes.
Yes, chief diversity?
Yes.
Okay. My line of thought on this is that I've got no problem creating the position in the budget, but I have concern about funding it until there's a civil service test. I mean, a lot's been made about the fact that this is going to be a civil service position, but not a lot has been talked about it, about how long it could take for the civil service test to be seated. So that's an awful long time for a provisional $73,000, $855 appointment plus benefits. I think that it's, no one has brought to me statistics that show that this position is going to be the linchpin, but I'm willing to entertain the fact that it's going to be, but I would like it to be tested before we hire the person rather than having them hired for, you know, what could be multiple years without a test.
Legislator Maloney.
I would just like to ask a quick question, too. Was this part of those, we got some emails about this, right? Was this one of the things that was mentioned in the...
It was. I'm against diversity. It's fine.
Can I ask you, the executive staff, to a person, since this was nothing was released to the press about this position, how anyone would even know that this is on a budget amendment hearing? Did somebody, and the emails we got were like from a template, they were the exact same email. Has anyone here contacted any private, any citizens and asked them to send letters to the legislature about this? I mean, even before the budget amendment hearing, it's a little alarming when no one's talking about truly holding this up, and I'd love to have an open and honest conversation, but yet we're getting template emails that are somewhat dirtying the ability to even have an open and honest debate and get down to what's best for the county. Do you know, Mark, of anyone that, did the county attorney's office?
I think it's more
about writing.
I think it's more of a question to the communications deputy.
What I will say
is that this position came out of many conversations
with the public. Before I start, I want to know if we were a diversity officer.
Please, can I just ask you, if you want to have this conversation, you want to find out what happens, we're talking about the job. If you've got a question about the job and about the budget, that's one thing. If you want to find out
I was under the impression
who got what,
that this is a process. This is a
yeah, but you're not staying on. You're not staying on topic.
Oh, please
on
answer,
topic.
Because what I asked was, do you guys know anything about these emails?
Yes, and you were talking.
And he blatantly wasn't answering the question,
well,
Chair.
Let's just answer how
okay, go ahead.
Answer, and then you can
Yeah,
I can't.
Mark,
you
have the floor. Answer the question.
Please.
Okay.
Legislator. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't know you were. No, please.
No, you have to answer.
So, this came out of many town halls, and many groups have actually come in and met with the county executive and said, this is a need for the county right now. Right now we have a Hispanic population in the Ulster County that's 11% and 2% in the county workforce. So, yes, I don't know of any exact conversations, but my guess would be that there is conversations with those groups that say, hey, guess what? If you came in here and you were asking for this position, there is a chance that this position will not exist in next year's budget if you want it. You should let your voice be heard. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, I'm still not. John, do you know, did you have anything to do with the writing of the specific words that went into that email that got sent to us? What concerns me is the process, because if we're not debating in good faith, and we're all, you know, this is the legislature, we're approving these funds, and the idea is for us to be able to represent our constituents and make sure these funds are being properly, that we're properly vetting how we're spending this money. And if rather than give us specifics on what this person's going to do day to day, when this is going to be a tested position, and those types of things to help us do our job, instead you're out there in the community muddying up the water and letting people think that, look, this is perfect, we're going to have diversity, and you know what, the legislature is the only thing between us and diversity. That's what you've done. I can't really tell whether you're admitting or not that you had something to do with the writing of that, but it's really undermining.
I didn't write anything. The idea that we would add this position.
Really?
No.
Legislator.
You know what? As Mark was pointing out, I've been to a couple of those town hall meetings, and they were asking for that diversity person. I went to. You know, it's not being an ass all the damn time.
Can we stop this, please? Enough. All right, both of you, if you have anything more to say, you want to put in writing, that's it. Enough, please.
All right, whatever, Bubba. Anyway.
This is not respectful. Can we just be respectful? That's what I ask. That's a simple thing. Please.
Right. This is not an impeachment inquiry. Jeez. We're attempting to find out information, and that's what we should be doing, attempting to find out what is the officer going to do. And I'm not somebody that necessarily supports the idea, because my mind said, I don't want the idea of saying we're going to recreate this officer, and now all of a sudden, we did what we had to do. We need to make sure that job is done properly. And I'm not sure how that should be done, or can that be done with less of one, you know, maybe splitting that with the human rights director, maybe then making that position one between the two of them. That may be an asset for us, I don't know. But the idea I know very well, is I went before Community Action, I mean Community, I mean Citizen Action, they were requiring it. Other groups I went before when I was going for endorsements, we wanted it. I know in town halls they were asking for it. I don't necessarily believe that that's necessarily going to solve the problem.
But they're going to be a
having
town
said that, I know very well that people were asking for it. And the idea that it's, you know, whatever these emails are, I don't know.
Oh, I do. Can I?
Are we talking about the topic?
Yes.
About the budget?
Okay. They
seem
to be okay with these.
Three quick snippets from the email, and it's important to this conversation about budget amendments.
But anyway, I mean, I know for a fact that what Mark is saying is true.
On the budget, it's on this amendment.
You know, and to Joe's point about you know, asking what was exactly disseminated to these folks who have been emailing us about this budget amendment in particular, but about two other ones that Richard proposed earlier. As I understand, members of the Ulster County Legislature are proposing budget amendments that would, one, gut county environmental protections, which I assume is about the $50,000 coming out of the environmental fund, end early childhood care, which I assume is about the childhood care one, and withdraw Ulster County government from the fight to create more diverse workforce.
And I'm out of line for asking.
I would like to say that I'm wondering how they would have gotten a copy of my amendment ahead of time, because I specifically asked that they not be transmitted ahead of time, the same way the budget's not transmitted to me ahead of time. But somehow they, you know, got a hold of these things. Apparently they got out to the public somehow.
Well, you've made your point.
And
thank you.
Don't have
oh, I have. Yeah.
No, you have. I get what you're saying. No, I'm just saying. I got
it. I think that's the problem with the process.
Please. A Chair Bartels.
Well, I'm responding to Legislator Maloney. The question of as to whether I have a problem with that, I would rather speak on the merit of the substance. I'm with you. The source of the information to a letter that someone's willing to sign their name to, when someone's willing to sign their name to a letter, I take it as a letter of concern. Mm-hmm. If they've been misled, that's something we have to deal
with.
Well,
somebody in the leadership of this legislature sent my budget amendments that I did not want transmitted to the executive's office to the executive's office.
The leadership in this legislature, you're saying?
Somebody, because it wasn't me, so who sent it to them? At whose direction?
Nobody.
It's a fair question, isn't it?
You're saying the legislature sent them that?
Somebody in the leadership in this legislature sent all of the budget amendments, obviously, because mine went there and I asked for it not to be, to the executive's office.
I have no idea. Why would you be transparent? Make sure that everybody gets it. Not before they come here.
I that's not the way I've ever understood it, but that's fine.
And there's a reason why you don't always want to.
This is transparent government. We are a transparent government. That's why I asked the question. What's the executive staff up to with regards to are they coming in here and giving us the information we're asking for so we can make the right decision for our constituents, or are they wanting to skip that and just force us there through public outcry?
Okay, we're now talking about two different things. You're talking about the executive staff, and you're talking about leadership in the legislature. These are two. Well, not exactly, because you're talking about the executive staff. You're talking about the leadership in the legislature. My question, in terms of process, my question, I can tell you that I did not forward any information to anybody. I received information, but I can tell you that it's inexplicable to me that we could have a budget hearing where we want people to answer questions, and they haven't been provided information in advance. And Rich, long-serving chair of Ways and Means, can speak to the fact that for many years, when we've had these hearings, I cannot think of a single one where we all showed up at the hearings and the executive staff had never seen what was being proposed, because they're the ones who are supposed to be responding if it's executive cuts. We were always provided packages in advance.
From now on, given this email, which means that obviously it wasn't just to prepare the executive's office for, you know, for coming to talk to us, it was also to, you know, give what are at the very, very generously half truths about what the budget amendments would do to the public to try and push us in a certain direction. It doesn't just have the feel of politics. It's got like a hammer.
Legislator Downs.
Question.
Mike, I'm confused here. Do we not want transparency? You want to put in an amendment? Why wouldn't everybody be able to see the amendment ahead of time? They have to respond to them, and as everybody else has to respond to them. I can see that you're upset because maybe there were, I don't know what was happening. I don't know if they used that as a tool, but whatever. I know it's been used in the past, heavy duty as a tool. A lot more than it is at this point. So my mindset is very simple. It's transparency. You put an amendment in, you've got to understand you're going to take a beating from some, and you're going to be patted on the back from others.
Legislator Maloney?
Yeah.
Emails like that are bad for the pride. They're bad for the people. That we're not getting the best position when we start the negotiating process and the debate like that. And I really wonder, before I ask a question of specifically about this position, I would just like a yes or no. Does anybody, has the leadership of the legislature, take issue with this? Has anyone gone to the executive and asked about these emails, legislator chair?
I have not yet.
That's why we elected you. One of the reasons we elected you.
All right, that's
like
that's out of order. Enough.
Question about the position. Can you give me a day-to-day, you know, by the hour or whatever, a day-to-day?
A job description was provided, so I don't know if you've had a chance to read it.
It doesn't really give you day-to-day. I'd love a day in the life of this person, where they're going to go, who they're going to talk to, what they're going to do, and how they're going to create diversity. And ultimately, since the majority of the county is civil service, we've spoken about this. A lot of times we're trying to get people that haven't always taken civil service tests to take civil service tests. Ultimately,
that is one of the goals of this position would be, and after speaking to some in leadership, it was determined that maybe we should be making this position a Spanish-speaking position, and that has been requested of the personnel department. This person on a daily basis would work with our Office of Employment and Training to help get out into the community and provide trainings to folks who have not normally been in the process of taking civil service tests, either because they're not aware that it's a requirement to take a government job, or they just don't know how to find the information about when and where the exams are, where they can get study guides, etc. This has been an attempt. We've attempted to do this through current personnel in the personnel department, and quite frankly, they are responsible for overall civil service and exams, etc., for the entire, all the municipalities in the county. And currently their workflow does not allow them to go to community groups, to go to the church leaders, to go to places, to go to Ellenville and Shangum to make sure that we get out there geographically and have these kind of trainings all throughout. My concern with putting this position in contingency and just saying, let's order a test. The typical civil service test can take 18 to 24 months. Now, I know that's a point that Legislator Ronk is using against hiring it because it'll be a provisional, but we will not get that position until 2021, 2022. That is not the urgency that many in this community, in Ellenville, all over, in Saugerties, people have come to us saying, we do not believe that the county workforce is representative of the demographics of the county, and it needs to be fixed. Not in 2022, but in 2020.
Legislator Donaldson?
I think it is going to be a while before you're going to get that officer in line. And I think maybe we can find ways that can benefit using the churches, using another. In other words, right now I'm not sure who they mail out notices for or if they have anybody within the groups, and maybe you can request that from the churches and the various areas to have somebody that's going to help people make out forms. And I think that's a method of going up. Now, I'm not sure if I'm still not quite sold, even though I heard the same information. I'm not quite sold in that it's worth an entire position. At this point, I would like to see it possibly joined with the human rights for a while and then maybe change that after we take a look at what the results are, if we're getting results.
Okay, on to the...
If I could just say one last point, I think it's entirely different skill sets.
I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand.
Yeah, you did. You actually acknowledged the fact that it's fine.
I apologize, Ken. Really, I wasn't trying to ignore you. If you have a point to make, please make it right now.
I do.
Go ahead.
Seeing as I'm withdrawing Ulster County from the fight to end, end the lack of diversity in the workforce, do you have any data on how the since he took office 5 or 6 months ago in positions that he has the sole authority to hire? Management confidential, say?
Yeah, I mean, so there has been various, we have hired some, and actually I think one is an appointment letter that maybe already went to your office for...
Perhaps, sometimes those have gotten lost in the mail this year.
Employment and training, although we didn't do a press release on it, I believe an appointment letter went out. It's Ms. Thomasine Oliphant, before mentioned Assistant Deputy County Executive Dan Torres, and...
that was prior to the county executive taking office. Just going to throw that out there.
Sure. It was through the transition. You're correct. After the election, the special election, but prior to him taking office. I'm trying to think of others. He did, I mean, so this was a pre-existing employee, but the first county attorney who's an African American was appointed under this county executive.
Just, you know, because it's obviously an urgent has need. The word urgent has been used multiple times. So.
I hear you. Thank you. You've made your point.
Okay, then.
I think.
Do you want to do your next one?
At this point, I'm just going to, you know, at this point, we seem to be in a rush to finish, so I'll just let them all stand for themselves, unless anybody has any questions for me. How about that? And then
well,
I don't have to talk anymore.
No, you have a couple more to go.
You know, I've made my point, so
why
bother continuing?
You have three other amendments. Okay, so let's go through them.
Fine. Which one would you like to do next?
I have the next one in line is the...
Miscellaneous contractual expenses?
That looks like it. Yes.
I'll be very brief, and I won't even, I won't even retort after whatever comes back. Apparently, we spent $1,330 to create a PowerPoint presentation with the number of digital media folks and communications folks that have been hired in the county executive's office. I found it absolutely astonishing that the finance department had to pay $1,330 to make a PowerPoint presentation. I can make a PowerPoint presentation. My 8-year-old niece may be able to make a PowerPoint presentation. And I don't believe the previous executive ever outsourced PowerPoint presentations. So this is a statement that I'm making by taking $1,330 out of miscellaneous contractual expenses because we should not be, as a county government with a $330 million budget, should not be contracting out for PowerPoint presentations.
Okay.
I don't believe there was anything wrong with that line. I mean, using... that line, miscellaneous contractual expenses, for what it was, which was a budget presentation done by a local firm that does that kind of work, I don't see the need to punitively take that money away in the next year's budget.
That was wrong. I'm going to retort. Then perhaps that we should, as a legislature, rethink some of the digital media folks in the county executive's office if we then need to contract out for PowerPoint presentations.
Any other comments? All right, your next one, Legislative Ron, Assistant Deputy County Executive Regular Pay.
Yeah, this was stated as parity with the two positions, the two Assistant Deputy positions. The history of the Assistant Deputy County Executive positions were that there wasn't parity, that they were different positions which had different roles and different skills, and the current person who occupies this position was hired at the lower rate, which means he accepted the position at the lower rate, and then 3 days after taking office, the current county executive raised the salary by $19,073, but if you include benefits and everything, $23,456. I think that this rights a wrong that was done to this legislature by the executive by giving a salary increase of that size outside of the budget process without legislative oversight.
Anybody want to comment?
I mean, this has been spoken about several times. I will just say, again, this is going back to we have restructured the way that the department is. Both current assistant deputy county executives have post-bachelor degrees, they have master's degrees, I know the excuse for the higher pay was always that Mr. Longtoe is an attorney. These folks are doing high-level work, some overseeing employees, other helping with operations. And I think going back to a system where they're paid a disparate amount of money is just going backwards and not the way we should be going.
Legislator Rock.
Thank you. I just want to make a point that the assistant deputy county executive makes more than the clerk of the legislature, who oversees the entire legislative staff, as well as at this salary that he was raised to, as well as aiding aiding every single one of us, all 23 of us, in our it's about $600, Mark. In aiding every single one of us in our duties with our constituents to the 180,000 residents of Ulster County. So I think to just use the argument that it's parity and it's a different form of government, then we are vastly underpaying our clerk of the legislature. She'd get really mad if I said that, though. So
she's not here now.
No, she's not.
But she'll listen in. Okay. Next is.
Next is
ADA raises, right.
That must have gotten mixed in somewhere. So I know what it is. So public defender had received several raises in the budget, as was talked about earlier when Holly was talking. I don't agree with all of Holly's raises, but what I did agree with is that if we're going to start using words like parity to describe, the reasons for the assistant public defender's salary increases, I think that we should at least make parity between ADAs that have been serving the county for many years with the new starting salary for one of the assistant public defenders, especially the one that does felony work, because a lot of the ADAs that are getting these raises do felony work.
Okay. Any comments? Okay, and then your last one?
Is giving management salary increases to all of the non-union management staff commensurate with some of the contracts that have been approved by this legislature with the unions, as well as expected settlements with CSDA.
So these are non-union? Are these managers?
They are. It's all non-union management. Our staff is included, as well as everybody who is management confidential is included in this. And it's a 2% salary increase, which is actually lower than the police officers and likely lower than what CSDA is going to receive. So. But I don't want to leave, again, I know that the managers, sometimes get a bad rap from not a bad rap, but, we are told that we put too much, emphasis on the managers and not enough on the staff. I just don't want it to go the other way as well. And I wouldn't have done this if we hadn't paused the compensation study, but with a pause in the compensation study, I don't want to leave our managers behind.
Okay, thank you. Anybody have a comment on this?
Yes. Only have one question, because it doesn't seem to me like every management non-union is in here, and so if some of these amendments pass and this were to pass, like if we were to remove the increase mid-year, like if you were to pass the assistant deputy county executive, yeah, lower that money back, is that somehow, that's not picked up in here though, correct? It just goes back to the...
I'd have to ask Amber or Natalie.
We make sure that every amendment is technically correct before it is passed on the legislative floor.
So if the legislature passes the reduction on the assistant deputy county executive, the 2% and a 2% raise is passed as well, then the 2% raise would go on the lower salary.
Okay, but that person's not even in here, so that position number is not in here at all.
Right.
And if the amendment doesn't pass, we'll then go back to having one assistant deputy county executive making 2% more, essentially. Than
we'll
the
make
other.
Sure it gets fixed. It was intended to be all the management staff.
Okay,
so
that was just my only question. Perfect.
If they were awarded a raise in the budget, then they're not included. The raise is considered taken care of.
Okay.
Thank you. I know it's been a tough day, tough couple of days, and I do appreciate it. And it's been interesting.
What's going to happen now?
I'll take a motion. Well, what's happening now? Now,
next.
Next.
Now I hope you go home. But
yeah, you're going home. Don't worry.
Like, what are we voting on? These? I think it's a question.
Monday, the 25th,
at 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock.
If they're done installing my heat, I'll be here on time.
Okay. Yeah, no, we switched it to 3.
Do you want to keep it 3, given there's so many?
Maybe we should go back to 2.
Can we just keep it 2? I feel like there's so much, there's a lot.
I may not be there.
Oh, you're not here. Can you
So can I just wait? Hold on. Before anybody leaves.
Oh, we didn't. I didn't take it. Who motioned the adjournment?
Wait, before we adjourn.
Before we adjourn.
Before we adjourn, folks. Trace Burt. Just before we adjourn, I just want to personally thank not only the executive staff for spending the long day here with us, but especially Amber and Natalie for the fantastic job that they did on not only all these amendments, but making sure that they were all done properly. So
thank you.
You guys are awesome.
You beat me to it. But yes, they've been great. Thank
I make
you.
A motion, we adjourn.
Second?
All in favor?
Aye.
Hey, Mark. So, Mark's going to be helpful, and I'm sorry for having pushed a little on.
I had to push back. I totally get it.
I didn't eat enough today, and then all of this stuff just got me cracked. That's why I wasn't at my best.
Well, I wasn't either, but it was a tough.
Shortness for some reason seems to be able to hit every button I had, so I wanted to try to get as much resolved here as we could. And I did bring up at the Community Services Legislative Programs that their program should be on that budget because it creates problems for us as a television community to appear to be.